is Thursday.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Beautiful morning, isn't it?
Still a bit early.
When are you gonna wake up?
Stay calm.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gents. I'm gonna get this thing humming with a few jokes.
Try to stay calm. I'm calm. I'm cum as a cucumber.
You know, Steve-O?
Yep.
I think he's lost it.
That
love. I think he has lost that love and feeling.
What? Do I have to wingman this right now? Do I need to start singing?
No, don't sing it because it's going to sound funny. So just don't do it. But, you know, I think maybe we're at that point in our relationship where he's moved on.
You never close your eyes anymore without kiss. Your lips.
Okay, we never kissed on the lips.
And there's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. You're trying hard not to show it, Bucky. But Bucky! You lost that love and feeling. There you are, Dexter. See?
Whoa, that gosh. Love and
Buck
feeling.
Buck always knows how to get you right back to where you need to be.
You've lost that love and feeling. Now it's gone. Oh,
oh. Go time. You ready?
Yeah. Just as I planned it.
Right here.
Right here.
Right now.
Right now.
Here we go.
Ready, set, go.
As we kick off the show, Steve-O's eating a stuffed hash brown. Is that thing good?
You want to buy it?
No.
You should try it.
I don't really want to. I'm good. It smells freezer burnt. It's a stuffed hash brown. What's in that hash brown?
Bacon and eggs and cheese.
Is it fake bacon? Is it one of those vegan hash browns? Is it really? Is it a sweet potato?
No, it's supposed to be real bacon, but it tastes like bacon bits. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Try it.
No, ugh.
Dexter, try it. No. Come on, man. Bacon and eggs.
I can't right now.
It's Jimmy Dean.
I just had some beets for breakfast.
Jimmy Dean frozen hash browns.
The inside of my mouth feels so healthy right now.
Yeah, mine is dying of age.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's July 20th, the day before my birthday.
That's right.
Good night, everybody.
I didn't get an on-air birthday day.
You didn't.
Mine was on a Sunday. I got ripped off.
Yeah, don't you hate that?
Yeah, dude. I got ripped off every year. You know, having a summer birthday, saw all your classmates with their cupcakes or whatever it was on their special day, and then the last day of school they'd be like, and here's cupcakes for everybody whose birthday's in the summer.
No.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. My son Landon, we had this conversation the other day. We were in the grocery store and he was telling me how bummed he is about having his birthday in August. It's like August 10th and it's just always lame for him because usually we're on vacation because we usually take vacation and go somewhere like the end of the summer. And so he's never around his friends. And, you know, and if you're at school, like you said, there's the party at school. So he's bummed about it. So I asked him, do you want to move your birthday? Like, I'll change the date for you. We cannot have your birthday on August 10th. I'm like, hey, pick a date, bro. I'll change it.
Yeah.
Is that okay? Could you do that? Why not? I mean, August 10th is always going to be his, like, day. But we can pick another day to celebrate, right? Like, you get to pick whatever day you want.
I'm with him.
What?
You really celebrate on a day that's not your birthday?
Sure.
It always made me crazy where it's like, well, we're having your party on Saturday. And I'm like, but my birthday's Tuesday.
I know, right? Because we always, like, all of us do that anyway.
My birthday's Tuesday. Yeah, I know, but Saturday, people can come over and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, people are going to wish me happy birthday, and it's a lie.
It's a lie.
It's not real.
I feel you. We all do that anyway, so why not just change the date?
Yeah.
Like, if you could pick a date right now.
Yeah.
What would be a good birthday for Steve-O? What do you want?
Any day?
You pick the day. I'll mark it on the calendar. It'll be your official birthday.
What if it was July 15th?
No.
That'd be so weird to me. I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it, man. Just stick me with old July 16th.
Maybe you get to change. Every year you get to change the date of your birthday.
But that's not your birthday. You don't get to pick your birthday.
Why not? It's your day.
Bill Peterson says May 4th.
That's a bad day.
What? May the 4th be with you.
That was the day I got fired, man. That was a bad day.
Oh, it was a great day. Wow. Maybe you turn it around, you redeem the day by making it your birthday.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
You know what? I like that.
Uh-oh. Manny chimed in, said, good morning, expecting a great show.
Oh, don't put that pressure on us.
Don't you dare put that pressure on us.
That's not how this thing works, man. It's like when somebody comes up to you and they're like, okay, make me laugh.
Oh.
No. No, I'm not going to. Yeah. No. No, go away. Yeah. I don't ever want to be your friend. Don't talk to me ever again. Don't say that to anybody.
Hey, Elizabeth says, I celebrate my birthday the whole month of October. That way no one misses my birthday. That's awesome.
Why is that mostly women that do that?
Katrina, speaking of the ladies, says her birthday's 4 days after Christmas. Here's your Christmas and birthday gift. It's the same gift. Yeah, we have to intentionally celebrate Luke's birthday. His birthday is January 4th, right after Christmas. And so inevitably it's Christmas and then New Year's. And all of a sudden it's birthday's in 3 days. We gotta get on this. Yeah. So we've had to intentionally start planning in November. We don't forget.
Do you, when you're out Christmas shopping, are you just buying extra gifts for his birthday?
I
feel like that's how you would handle that.
Not because if you wait till after Christmas, you get the after Christmas sale.
Oh, good call.
So Katrina's friends are cheap.
Yeah.
Because we get them multiple gifts, mostly because the sales are amazing right after Christmas.
That's a good call.
Yeah. Stephanie says, May 4th is my birthday. It's a good day.
Stephanie. Yeah, guys, tomorrow's my birthday. If you guys want to drop off gifts, shower me with all of your money. I'm okay with that.
Okay.
Just kidding, guys.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks, dude. 4001 Osuna Road Northeast.
Oh, man.
So far, I've gotten one card.
You told me not to get you anything.
Oh, I'm not talking about you, sir. We made a pact.
We did make a pact. I will not break it.
I'm just waiting for you to wear my birthday shirt to work. Because I know you got me a shirt. And now you're going to wear it, aren't you?
No. Nope.
You're going to go, this was it. Your shirt.
But you told me not to give it to you, so I can't.
And it's going to be the coolest shirt ever, and I'm going to be so jelly.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
585 Live, that's our live line. You can text the show. Please be a part of it with us. Hang out with us. 505-585-LIVE. We're on Facebook Live as well. Star88. Manny's on there. Cheryl Ann. Tons of people, man.
Heck yeah,
man.
Good
morning, everybody. You're up bright and early.
Dude, Manny says we always make the show great because we get his day going. He starts work at 5 a.m., so he needs to pick me up. We feel you, dog.
Yep.
We feel you, Manny.
Been here since I got here at 3:30 this morning.
That's right.
Slept in a little bit.
I got here a little after 6.
He just showed up.
I just walked in the door. I was like, "Yeah, woo, refresh. What's on the show today?"
Yeah, that's like it used to be back when I used to do that other radio show.
Oh, sorry, man.
Well, one of them would do that.
Yeah.
What else is happening this morning? Today's International Chess Day.
Oh, okay. I got really excited when you said international for some reason, and I thought you were going to end with House of Pancakes. I'm really hungry, and this little hockey puck Jimmy Dean thing is not working out.
Not working out for you? I'm sorry.
Dude, please try it. Look at it. It looks like Spam in there.
Ugh.
Yeah. That can of meat. Oh, look, that's sausage.
Okay.
All right. I don't think that's sausage.
Yeah. Ugh. It's honestly making me want to puke, just the smell of it.
It's bad.
Oh. Let's see. 48 years ago on this day in 1969, Neil Armstrong and old Buzz became the first men to walk on the moon.
Heck yeah, man.
Or did they?
Oh. I'm actually very curious if they did. I want to know.
Was it all staged?
Part of me really, truly, honestly thinks it was.
Like
I really
what's
do.
Your percentage? What's your percentage?
I'm like close to 50-50, man.
Really?
Yeah.
Come on. Really? That much?
Yes.
Jeez.
I mean, think about it. We haven't really been back. Why not? Because it cost too much? Yeah, because in 1969, I'm sure it didn't cost a whole lot. I feel like it probably cost more for us back then, but we were trying to beat the Russians.
Have any of the, that's my question. Any other countries, have they been to the moon? How many times has other countries been there since we landed there?
I don't know.
We should look that up. Because I know the Russians have been there, but who else has been there? Has China been there?
No. Why are you asking me who's been to the moon? Like I know. I don't even think we've been to the moon.
It's true. I don't know why I'm asking you this.
My answer is no one.
When Armstrong walked down the ladder, his pulse registered at 160 beats a minute.
Really? I wonder where my pulse is at right now.
Can you imagine the feeling of just leaving the plane, and you're walking down the, I mean, you're just like,
you're on the moon.
Yeah. You're in this uncomfortable, weird space suit, and you're trying to get down a ladder, and then you don't know what to expect.
Right.
Are these monsters going to come up from the dirt and kill you?
I don't think
that would be my first thought.
I don't think that's what they thought.
Tremors, man.
Okay. Somebody made these craters.
Oh, man.
Booty wants to know if we can have a stash off.
Stash off? I you would win. You can grow a really good mustache.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but...
yours is better than mine. I know that.
Sam Elliott's my uncle.
Pretty much.
I actually can grow a pretty mean stash. I did at one time.
He looks just like Super Mario.
I feel like it's more Luigi, though, because I'm like tall and thin.
That's true, huh? More Luigi. Yep. 1973, martial arts legend Bruce Lee died.
Wow.
Age of 32. It's just a few weeks before the release of Enter the Dragon.
Yeah. Oh.
The official cause of death was a brain edema.
Booty says don't be a quitter, Dex. You're being a quitter.
I don't care. I'll grow my mustache. I don't care.
Our boy Joe chimed in and said there's actually a MythBusters episode where they bounce a laser off the lunar lander proving that we landed on the moon. That's cool.
Right on. I remember BuzzFeed did this article a couple years ago.
The government paid him to do that episode.
Right? BuzzFeed staged the moon landing, and it was identical. Like, they staged it, and it looked just like when we landed on the moon. Like, it can be done. You might, I don't know.
But it's 2017, man. Like, they did this in 1969. If you go back and look at movies from 1969... Although, Alien was less than a decade later, and that movie is still terrifying.
It's true. I know, why... why haven't we been up there?
It's a good question there, Dexter.
I feel like we would have, if we could really get up there, there would be astronauts living on the moon. I mean, it's not that far away.
It's so close. Right? You see it every day. Oh, come on. Join me.
You know, the Mars rover, is that thing just in Arizona? Is it just like roaming around outside at the outskirts of Phoenix? Is that where it's really
Valley.
At? Yeah.
We just don't know.
Because how would you know? I mean, you stumble upon one of those things and you just think somebody's out there
Yeah. Yeah, but I feel like the footage, well, it's not streamed all the time, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. Transformers found it once.
Yeah.
It was in a movie trailer.
It's kind of fun to talk conspiracies, even though they're not real.
They are real.
No, I believe everything the government tells me. Oh, gosh, it's already 6:24. What have we been talking about?
Summer birthdays are the worst. We never landed on the moon. Our girl Liz on Facebook Live was like, hey, don't call me Elizabeth. My friends call me Liz. Call me Liz.
Okay.
So we're like, what's up, Liz? Javi's chiming in. Shout out.
What?
Booty wants us to do a mustache off. Maybe we go big in like March for like mustache madness.
Was it Movember? Why don't we just do it in Movember?
That's closer. You're right.
No shave November.
What if we did it in, I was trying to think of anything to do with August. Not a whole lot of hair things rhyme with August.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. All the way August.
All the way. Guys, we have a big show today.
Heck yeah, we do.
It's not that big.
It's huge.
Shock Therapy Live coming up at 9.
Is that happening this week?
You're right. I probably should not even promote it. Let's talk about a lot of cities. I don't know if Albuquerque does it yet. I haven't even researched this. But there's a fun thing for kids to do in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going out hunting for rocks.
Yeah.
Do we do that here in Albuquerque?
Of course.
Okay.
I remember when I was a kid, there were areas... There were like fossils.
Oh, what?
I found fossils when I was a kid.
Really?
Down south. Yeah.
Are you thinking of the same thing? Like people paint rocks and then they hide them and then you have to go find them.
Oh, yeah.
You're not even. No.
No. I just thought you meant when you're bored and you go in the backyard and you look for cool rocks.
No. No.
What?
This is something that people are doing.
This is stupid.
They paint rocks. Seriously. They paint rocks. And if you have younger kids, it's fun for them.
It's a blast.
And so people hide these painted rocks and then you go out hunting for them. Maybe somebody out there that's listening right now.
Is there money in them? Like, I don't understand.
That was my first question. Right. I mean, what?
If you find the golden rock.
Do you keep the rocks or do you put them back? Is it like catch and release when you go fishing? Like, I don't understand.
Oh, man.
But I guess kids love it. So we're going to talk about that. Maybe you guys can chime in and let us know if you're a rock hunter.
Here's a really good question, Conspiracy Theory 2017. Ernest on our Facebook says, how does the Mars rover stay charged and my iPhone can't make a full day? How's that thing still got juice?
Solar powered.
Is it?
Well, I mean, that's common sense.
I mean, if it is, that makes a lot of sense.
It's got to be solar powered, right?
I mean, I'm pretty sure it's getting blasted by the sun like all day.
Yeah, it's solar powered. Come on.
Okay.
That thing's been up there for like 100 years, man.
That makes sense.
It's like at least 100, right?
At least 100.
Gosh, it's already 6:27. What is happening this morning?
It's only 3 minutes later.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
I'm going to keep eating this. I got to.
Finish it up. Scientists have figured out the reason you can't quit Facebook. We'll find out. 10 signs you are living the modern American dream. And come fly with me.
Oh, no.
Family from New York got kicked off of a flight in Florida this month.
I'm like traveling on an airplane in just a few short months.
Ugh.
I'm tired of these airline stories. It's bad.
I know.
It's real bad, guys.
Speaking of airlines and flying, if you're looking for a good birthday gift, be a flight to New York.
By the way, Bakersfield, California, shout out to our girl Brandy listening, who said that they've got a giant rock hunting thing going on right now. Exactly what you're talking about. It's turned into like a painting skills show-off thing.
Nice.
It's catch and release, by the way. You catch these cool rocks and then you release them back into the wild.
Okay. right. 585 Live if you want to text in. Go to our Facebook page, Star88, and like it. You can watch and listen to the show right there. When we come back, we have headlines and we'll check the roads.
The commission set up to investigate what the president claimed was widespread fraud during the last election is holding its first meeting.
Any form of illegal or fraudulent voting, whether by non-citizens or the deceased, must be stopped.
The president said inaction on Obamacare is not an option.
The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled the government must include grandparents as bona fide family members exempt from President Trump's travel ban.
The material girl is suing to keep some of her materials from being auctioned off.
Used underwear. A hairbrush, private photographs taken at a party at her home, other letters and tapes of unreleased music.
Another record day on Wall Street.
The hit song of the summer is called Despacito, which means slowly in English, but it's quickly become the most streamed song of all time.
The Congressional Pig Book highlights what's considered wasteful government spending.
A Stanford University study took a look at how speed dating can help determine what makes up the perfect first date.
Oh. 6:35.
The high today is 89 degrees. And I'm wearing shorts.
What? Why are you breaking the rules?
I-40 West at 12th Street. There's some bridge maintenance work. Also, I-40 West at I-25, the big guy. What are they going to do? Send me home?
What are they going to do?
What are they going to do? Send me home? What are you going to send me home?
Man.
What, dog? What? Rebellious.
That's terrible, I feel like we're all getting a snapshot of what it was like with you in school.
What are you going to do, teacher?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do?
Send me home?
Oh, I'm going. Oh, I am going. Okay, I'm going home. All right. I'm pretty sure there was a desk at La Cueva. With my name on it at Bear Trap. That's what they called detention at
Bear
my high
Trap?
School.
Bear Trap? I love that. Because they're the bears? Yeah.
Yeah. It's called Bear Trap.
Hey, you! Bear Trap! Let's go!
Jim, the dude that ran Bear Trap, I was like, oh, Steven. I'm like, hey. Just gonna draw.
Really, Steven?
Just gonna
again?
Be over here drawing. You know what the funny thing is? I, like, dug it because I was, like, actually focused and I got my work done instead of, like, trying to, like, be funny in class.
Detention's bad, kids. Don't listen to Steve-O.
So bad.
No, it's bad.
So bad.
You're a horrible role model.
I'm not a role model.
Yeah, you are.
I shouldn't be
a role
model.
You're a public figure.
That doesn't mean I'm a role model.
Yeah, it does.
Whatever.
When kids listen to every word that you speak from your mouth, you're a role model.
Well, that's your look at traffic.
Okay.
Traffic!
Welcome to the show, everybody. Morning Invasion. We have an app you can download. It's free. It's on your smartphone. And you can stream us live right there on your phone. You can get the podcast right there. It's on demand. So if you only get a little bit of the show, you can listen to it whenever you want. Coming up on the show this morning, a family from New York got kicked off of a flight in Florida.
I didn't want to talk about this.
We were just watching the video. And the reason they got kicked off of this flight is so ridiculous. You would think that they would have special training now for people that work in the airline business on how to handle situations. Because you know you're going to go viral and just made to look like a fool.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Wait till you find out why this family was kicked off. We'll talk about it coming up a little after 7 o'clock. We'll also talk about the 10 signs you're living the modern American dream. We'll see if we line up with this list. Are we living the modern American dream?
Mm.
You know, the big house, white picket fence,
big house.
Great job,
yeah.
Two or three kids, great income, just the American dream.
Remember the Starman just chimed in and said, definitely a role model, like it or not.
Lucky or not, mister.
All right. Taking a look at the headlines. We begin in China. There was a guy in China whose sister passed away 20 years ago.
Oh yeah.
His mom was devastated, and her mental health started declining pretty rapidly. So now he takes care of her full time. And in order to help his mom cope, he has spent the last 20 years dressing up as his sister so she thinks she's still alive.
Yeah! Wait, I don't know. Okay. I'm kind of torn with this one.
No,
let me think this one out for a second.
Not even, there should not even a little torn.
Let me think this one out.
Like, this is cray cray, dog.
But she's cray, grieving.
Cray. She's not grieving.
She's grieving.
She's not grieving because the son dresses up like his sister every day for the last 20 years.
Look at the smile on his mom's face, because he's dressed up in a dress, he puts the wig on, and
yeah,
she is so full of joy.
He lost his identity. Imagine being the son and being like, mom isn't happy that I'm alive. Like, what happened to the son? He dresses up like the sister every day.
But that doesn't mean that the son is gone. I mean, he probably shows up too, and he's like, hi, mom, I'm here. And then he'll go in the bathroom and change and come out and, come on, man. It's What's not, wrong with the mom? Is she dying? Is she?
Dude's in his 50s, and this video has just straight up gone viral on Chinese social media, starring a dude that has, put all other sons to shame. At least according to this article, because I don't know how I feel about this. He's in his 50s. He is shown driving a cart with his elderly mother resting in the back. Later, he goes to tend to her and feed her, all while wearing a flowery blue and white dress thingy. Yeah. He says he's been dressing like this for the last 2 decades, ever since his sister died. After his sister's death, his mother began to break down mentally. To make her feel better, he started dressing as a woman, making her think that her daughter had returned. After seeing how happy he made his mom, he knew he couldn't go back to dressing like a man. Now he says he doesn't even own any men's clothing.
Gotta say, he's kind of rocking that look.
To make money, he plays the flute on the street. He's never been married. His life revolves around his mother. He doesn't care what anyone else thinks about the way that he dresses. He does it all for her.
Okay, now that I've gotten the full story, he really just wants to dress up like a girl. Like, that's... Come on. Hey, come on, man. Let's just be honest. You want to dress like a girl.
Matt says, Norman Bates spinoff? Dude.
Right?
This video is creepy.
Oh, man.
This video is really thoroughly creepy. Alberto says, what about him? There is no him. There is only Shim.
Okay.
Because he's a dude. He doesn't even own men's clothing anymore. He just wanted to make his mom happy. He completely lost his identity.
All right.
Trying to help. Oh,
see, at first when I just had read the headline, I was thinking, oh my gosh, this mom probably, she has Alzheimer's. She probably comes in and out of that. And so he wants to make her happy because the sister died, but then the mom can't ever remember. So if it was that situation, I was thinking, man, that's pretty cool.
No!
But this situation.
Crazy!
He just wants to dress up like a girl.
I love the headline. World's best son has been dressing like his dead sister for 20 years to help his grieving mom.
For 20 years?
See, Sherilyn asks a really good question. What, the mom doesn't miss her son?
I don't know. I don't know.
Katrina says, no, 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 no.
Okay. All right.
It is so weird.
No.
And so wrong.
No, 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 no.
Yeah.
No. No.
Right? Gosh, dude. So weird. I got to move on. I'm like so. Guys, don't even look up the story. It's so weird.
Next.
Sad news. Senator John McCain was diagnosed with brain cancer after undergoing surgery last Friday to remove a blood clot from above his eye.
Oh, my gosh.
His office says, quote, he's in good spirits, confident that any future treatment will be effective, end quote. The type of cancer John McCain has is called glioblastoma, which is what Ted Kennedy, Joe Biden's son, Bo had. There's no words how it'll be treated, but McCain's doctor said his underlying health is excellent. He's a three-time survivor of melanoma. President Trump issued a statement saying, quote, Senator John McCain has always been a fighter. Melania and I send our thoughts and prayers to Senator McCain. Cindy and their entire family get well soon. Senator McCain's former running mate, Sarah Palin, said, quote, John McCain is one tough fighter. We know he'll face this diagnosis with courage and strength, end quote. And I just remembered that John McCain ran for president with Sarah Palin.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Remember?
I had totally forgotten.
Remember when, you know, he announced his VP and everybody was like, what?
Yeah.
Sarah Palin? What?
Right.
The governor of Alaska?
It was a pretty good race up until that point.
John McCain's 80 years old.
Wow. Okay. Y'all know how frustrating it can be when you lose your phone. Unless you have the new watch. Check this out. Ready? Where's my phone?
I don't know.
Where's my phone? Oh, it just pinged my phone from my watch. Here it is. This guy probably wished he had some of this technology in his pocket or on his wrist. Because a dude just couldn't survive without his phone. We all know what that's like. If you can't find it for more than 5 minutes, you're basically on the verge of a nervous breakdown.
It's hard, man.
This might be a little extreme, but a 23-year-old guy in Florida named Eric Ross called 911 on Sunday to report a shooting inside a house in Daytona Beach.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Bunch of cops responded and showed up with guns drawn, but once they got there, he told them, I'm sorry, guys. I totally made that up. My phone's in the house, and I can't find it. Can you guys just... Is there any way, since you're all here, can you, like, help me get it? I think it's in the apartment. I need you to break into my house for me.
He made it up? He called 911 and made it up?
Yeah, so, yeah, I can't get inside. Turns out he called 911 earlier that day and said the person who lived in that house might have had it. It wasn't actually his own house at all.
Oh, my gosh.
When the cops didn't show up, he decided to make up the story about a shooting so they would actually show up to break into this house where he's pretty sure he left his phone.
911, where's your emergency?
Bel Air Drive and Wild Olive.
What's going on there?
Someone's been shot.
Someone's been what?
Shot. What?
Shot?
Yes.
When did this occur?
2 minutes ago.
Who was shot?
An old lady.
Okay, is the person who shot her still there?
Yes, because he's looking for his phone.
Okay, so it was an accidental shooting?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, they wouldn't let him into the house, so we need police here.
All right, listen, stay on the phone with me. I have units on the way. Where is the male?
What?
He's in the house looking for his phone.
He still has a weapon on him?
Yes.
This is crazy.
Where is the patient?
On the floor.
Right, but where? Is she in the house or is she outside?
On the house. In the house.
I have multiple units on the way to you, but I need you to stay on the phone with me. Do you know if she's breathing and conscious?
She's like gasping for air.
So
are you inside right now?
No, I'm across the street.
Let me try to clarify. He went to the house, knocked on the door looking for his phone. They wouldn't let him inside, so he shot the female?
Yes. Because she was trying to close the door on him.
Do you know who this is?
911.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Do you know who the male is?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
Guys.
Wow. That's real life.
Listen.
That was real life.
He obviously didn't think this. An old lady. She's in the house. And he's looking for his phone.
My favorite part is when the 911 operator was like, so, is she breathing? Is she okay? What's the status of her Is this Miss
Nash? Yeah. Do you know who this is? 911.
911, duh.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Multiple units were on the scene.
Here's the crazy thing. This part isn't on the recording, but he knew it was a little risky because when he was talking to the operator, you know, she's like, I need you to stay on the phone. So he's staying on the phone. He made sure to ask her not to allow the cops to shoot him when they got there because they did initially point their guns at him as he's still outside, like, waiting to get in this house. Oh, yeah, man. No, it's me. I'm good. Please don't shoot me. But wait, here's the thing. He called from a phone.
Yeah.
So he had a phone?
He had a phone.
But he was looking for his phone.
Yeah, does it say anything in there?
Wait. How did he call 911 if he was looking for his phone?
Gosh, this makes no sense. That guy, what if it really was his phone and he didn't realize?
Like, yeah, you know when you're like looking for your keys
glasses,
and they're in your
they're
hand
on your
or
like
yes.
on your head?
Yes! He's like, I don't know where, it's not in my pocket. I don't know.
Maybe he borrowed someone's phone. Maybe, do they still have pay phones? Do those exist?
I don't even know. He was arrested for misusing 911, and it turns out he was trying to break into that home because he believed that's where his phone was. So he was trying to break. He's also facing burglary charges for trying to break into his home.
That was one of the best 911 calls to listen to because once you get the full story of why he called 911, to hear him, you could hear it, him thinking. You could almost hear his brain thinking about what to say.
911, where's your emergency?
Bel Air Drive and Wild Olive.
What's going on there?
Someone's been shot.
Someone's been shot. Obviously.
The way he said that was, I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't believe I just said that. Someone's been shot. It's so great. I want to listen to the whole thing again. Like, oh, it's so good.
Oh, man. Shout out to Kim, who just discovered what our Facebook Live status means. Good job. You nailed it. I'm not telling anybody else.
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh. This is the best. The best and the worst. I still want to know where he called from. Like, how did he call? Man. You know, because if you're missing your phone, but you have your watch, like, I could still make calls on this thing.
Right? Oh. Let me do a little research, and maybe I can find out.
Seriously, I want to know whose
maybe
phone he
more
had.
To it.
Moving on for now, while he's investigating. After several setbacks, and I mean several setbacks, how many years have we been waiting for this fight, man? Like, it feels like...
Over 2 years, right?
Gosh! UFC 214, July 29th, 2017, Anaheim, California. We may. I'm saying may because there's still a couple weeks. So this it could still go sideways. We've got 9 days.
That's true. Because the last time, it was... What, it was the day before?
Yeah.
That he got popped and for drugs?
And I felt so bad for DC just watching that. It was like... Oh, man. John Bones Jones and Daniel Cormier are set to get back in that octagon. And to hear John Bones Jones tell it, once the dust settles and he gets his second win over DC, if he is willing to let bygones be bygones, stick out his hand, and call a truce under one condition. Quote, this rivalry ends at UFC 214, and after the fight... I honestly have no problem with Daniel Cormier, Jones said during a recent, really interesting and in-depth interview with Flow Combat. If he wants to be friends, be a sportsman, and realize I'm just a better fighter, that would be great. It would show a lot about who he is. I doubt he'll do that, though, based on how he acted the first time I beat him. John, though, is already prepared to hear some kind of excuse from Cormier should he prove victorious against him, perhaps even citing that his training camp wasn't all that great leading up to the much-anticipated rematch. I'd be willing to bet the house he's going to come up with some kind of excuse or reason why he lost his fight. I have friends who are all over social media, and they tell me both Luke Rockhold and Cain Velasquez have been injured and haven't been training a lot. I really hope he doesn't use that as an excuse, end quote.
Yeah. I understand that.
I am a hometown fan, right? Like, I love John Bones Jones. I think it's going to be a closer fight than people realize.
You do?
I do.
No way. No way.
You know how many times, like, it's been, we've been prepared, like, for John Bones Jones to get his belt back finally and, like, do something, and it just hasn't happened? I think if anything goes awry, it'll be himself. That's what I think. I think he can beat Daniel Cormier. I definitely think he can. I think he should beat Daniel Cormier. I think he should never. Daniel Cormier never should have been wearing the belt to begin with. We need to get John in studio.
Yeah.
Oh, what happened?
What'd your Apple Watch just do?
I got an alert. O.J. Simpson is facing parole.
Okay.
That's literally why I just got some weird ping. I've never gotten one of those.
From your Apple Watch?
I've never gotten one of those. What else?
That's big news. It's worth the ping.
Thanks for the news.
Wow.
Watch thing. Okay. Do we have any more information on this phone guy?
No, there wasn't anything.
Ooh!
I looked up. Nothing. Nothing on there.
Okay. Check this out. On a radio show yesterday, Jada Pinkett Smith was asked about her history with Tupac Shakur. They have a pretty storied history.
Yeah, I had no idea.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
They were very, very, very close friends, dating back to their high school days. She has always insisted that their relationship was more of a brother-sister thing. Well, yesterday, she admitted that she's never really told the whole story. When she first met Tupac, she was actually a drug dealer.
Wow.
What?
That's crazy.
Yeah. That is crazy. She didn't give many details because she's going to write a book about it, but she said, quote, "That's how we started. As I was coming out of the life, something very bad happened to me. As I was coming out, he was going more into the life. There was a point in the middle where we met. Pac and my relationship was about survival. That's how it started. Most people want to connect it to this romance thing, but that's because they don't have the story. There are a lot of components of our story that we've never shared," end quote.
You all appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mama. I was more of a Biggie dude.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. I liked Tupac, but I was definitely more of a Biggie dude.
Yeah, I can't wait for that book. I got to interview Jada and hang out with her for about an hour. This was like probably 6-7 years ago when she started with her metal band, because she's in this like heavy metal band as the lead singer.
Yeah.
And she was playing a show at the Sunshine.
What was that band called?
Oh, man, it's right there.
If only there were this magical device that I could just Google it.
She was one of the nicest people ever.
Really?
I mean, so nice. And it was cool. I was hanging out with her, and she got a phone call from Will Smith.
Oh, dude.
She's like, "Hey, honey, I'm in the middle of an interview. I'll call you right back." It's like, oh, my gosh, that's Will Smith.
Wicked Wisdom.
Wicked Wisdom. They were playing Ozfest, I think.
That's so crazy.
No, they were playing at the Sunshine. But they did play Ozfest, too.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Wow, we got to go to break.
We do. It's already 7, man.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk about the signs you're living the modern American dream and this family who got kicked off of a flight in Florida. Wait till you find out why they got kicked off.
This is crazy.
We'll be right back.
The Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O.
They are wonderful. A bit of an exaggeration and kind of a nightmare most of the time, but I would say they are doing an amazing job.
I want to give a special welcome to those of you who are here on your way to Comic-Con in San Diego, which started today. Comic-Con, as you know, is the world's largest gathering of adults wearing onesies. And the reason why your IT guy didn't answer his phone at all today, it is... You know, they're expecting a number of big movie trailers like Justice League and maybe Aquaman, maybe the Avengers will be unveiled there this week. But it's funny, though. Trailers used to be something you had to sit through before the movie you wanted to see started. Now, because of Comic-Con, people sleep on the sidewalk in Stormtrooper outfits to see them.
That Jimmy Kimmel's so funny. Welcome to the show, everybody. Dex and Steve-O.
Disagree. Ooh. Have you ever been to a Comic-Con?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say it's like 50-50.
I've actually never been to one.
Okay. Because it's like, yeah, you've got those like nerd people, but what's hilarious is like, it's really shifting.
More people like me?
Yeah. You know what
they
I mean?
They don't know anything about comic books, but they just want to go because they want to see their trailer.
They want to like, yeah.
Yeah. Their favorite actor is going to be there.
Right. It's interesting.
7-12.
High today of 89 degrees. Gonna rock it on through with some traffic now. We're gonna see what's going on in the ABQ. We got nothing going down. Everything's clear. Thinking you'll ride that much. I don't know. Near?
Yeah. Clear?
Well, I said clear. You don't rhyme clear with clear. That's a look at traffic.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Traffic!
585 Live. You can text us.
I beat Thanos, by the way.
Oh, you did?
Just beat Thanos.
Good job.
Just beat him. Thanos ain't nothing, dog.
Does that mean you need to put your phone down? Let's just beat him?
Gosh.
I mean.
Fine!
I mean, come on, man. Chrissy, I'm so sorry. Coming up, we'll talk about the signs you're living the modern American dream. And apparently scientists have figured out the reason you can't quit Facebook.
Oh, I can't wait to hear this one.
Shout out to all of our Facebook friends watching us live right now. You can listen, yep. You can watch Star 88FM on Facebook. All right, let's do this little segment.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
Get off!
Come on and fly with me. Let's fly away. Let's fly.
Oh,
pack up, let's fly away.
Hey.
Pack a small bag.
Here's your headline. Family outraged after being kicked off a JetBlue flight. I would like to see what you guys think about this situation.
Okay.
Because I was reading the comments on the article, and it's pretty mixed. Mixed feelings about what happened to this family.
Right.
This family, they live in New York City. Tamir and Mandy said they were heading home with their three children on July 2nd when Ephra got into an argument with another passenger over her one-year-old daughter kicking the back of the person's seat.
One-year-old?
Yeah, one-year-old.
How long are those legs, one-year-old?
Yeah, right? In a cell phone video recorded by the parents, the JetBlue manager is seen speaking to the couple and asking them to get off the plane. So apparently what happened is altercation because their child was kicking the back of this seat.
Yeah.
That person then went and told them, hey, this family, their kid, disrupting me.
Won't stop kicking my seat.
And all of a sudden, they're asked to leave the plane with really no explanation why. So, of course, the family starts to freak out. Wait, what do you mean we have to get off the plane? Like, what did we do? And they wouldn't tell them why. They wouldn't give them a reason why. So they argued for a few minutes. They videoed everything. And they were escorted off the plane. And they actually talked to the guy who had kicked them off and was trying to get him to explain the reason why. And yeah, he wouldn't do it.
Right.
He wouldn't give them a reason.
We watched the video and it was pretty unbelievable.
Yeah, here in the article it says, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, it's their plane. They can do whatever they want to do.
That was from a deputy.
Don't worry. We will get a lawyer and handle it the right way. You had no reason to kick off my family. That's what they told the manager and deputies. The family told the news that they did not get their checked luggage back until a week later, and JetBlue banned them from all future flights, but they didn't say why. I didn't know they got banned. Wow. The airline issued a statement on Wednesday over the incident explaining why the family was taken off the plane. After a verbal altercation that included physical threats and profanities against a nearby customer, the aircraft door was reopened, and our airport's team politely asked the customers to step off to discuss the situation. The customers refused a repeated request, and our crew members deplaned the entire aircraft. Law enforcement escorted them out of the gate area, and we provided a refund. So I wonder if we just didn't get that part. Maybe they didn't videotape.
Of course not.
Altercation.
Well, it's believable to me because in the video you do hear the dad pretty irate because he says that the customer in front where the kid was kicking the seat had said someone needs to tie that kid's feet together.
Yeah.
So I can imagine the father probably fired back some remarks.
Yeah, how would you feel if somebody said that about your kid?
Man, see, but I'm at the movie theater. I try and sit next to Brody if we take him to any movie because it's like, dude, don't forget the rules. It's like once the lights go down, no talking.
Yeah,
don't get up. No kicking the seat in front of you. You know, because we want to be respectful of everybody else who also paid to see that movie. And it's so stressful, but you got to do it. You know,
right?
And so if this kid's just, I don't know.
Somebody said their own video makes them look terrible, aggressively arguing with and repeatedly interrupting a remarkably calm, factual JetBlue attendant who's trying to explain their options to them makes them appear to be in the wrong, regardless of the circumstances. They even argue with the police officer who eventually has to intervene. These are customers. I doubt any airline will want them on their flights.
Yeah.
That's a good call because we were watching the video and they wouldn't even allow the flight attendant to explain. They just kept cutting them off.
Somebody said the moment you said JetBlue, my brain said, eh, figures.
No. Wow. But, you know, at first you're like, man, they got kicked off of a plane because of their one-year-old kicking the back of a passenger's seat. But then it's kind of, when you get the full story, I bet you anything, it was how this family reacted.
And I'm wondering, see, this is always interesting, especially when things hit the news like this, because you're only getting part of the story. I'd love to know what actually happened inside that plane, because by the time the family starts recording, of course, they're already being asked to get off the plane. Like, I wonder if there's any other patrons on said plane that could give any, you know, a little more insight into what happened.
Because JetBlue, they said that they were not removed due to the actions of their children. So that wasn't the reason why.
Yeah.
At first, that's what I was thinking. Man, they kicked this family off because their kid kicked the back of someone's seat. But that's not the situation. I think this family flipped out. And I think that's something that we all have to be careful of, is whatever situation we're in, whatever altercation comes our way, we have to try to stay calm and collected, have self-control, because it's so easy to fly off the handle. It's so easy to lose it. And we have to try to just keep it together. Be careful what we say, and I'm guilty of it. I've in the past, you get so worked up and you don't think, and you end up saying things you regret. And I'm talking, you know, our marriages. That's a big thing, you know, like our relationships with the people we spend the most time with. We have to be careful. So, just a little friendly reminder: don't ever fly with your kids.
Right? Somebody said people need to keep control of their kids in public places. Somebody else said, at one time I was traveling with my daughter, who was 2 at the time, when a woman sitting in front of us on a plane looked back at my daughter and said to me, she better not kick my seat.
Oh, man.
I said I would do my best, but reminded her that she is 2 years old, so I can only do so much. I cannot believe people are so insensitive. Okay. See, that right there, oh man. That's why I'm like 50-50.
Yeah.
Cause I get it. You don't ever want to sit in front of those kids because it's like, oh, and there are some parents who just don't care. But on the flip side, man, if you were on an airplane and the person in front of you turned around and said you need to tie your kid's feet together,
be hard to have self-control at that point.
It would be very difficult.
But you gotta. You have to. You have to ignore it.
Somebody said Steve-O is ready to fight you to the death. Always ready.
Always ready.
I will fight you to the death! I just couldn't imagine that. Like, you're sitting on a plane, you might not even know. You got three kids, so maybe you're, like, getting the other two situated, you're whatever, and then all of a sudden, you know, allegedly.
Yep.
You know, the person in front of you turns around and says, hey, man, you need to tie those your kids' feet together. Keeps kicking my seat.
Okay, let me...
Oh, man.
Let me give you another situation. This is another story that came out. There was a woman on a flight from L.A. to San Francisco. She tweeted a photo on Tuesday after the woman who was sitting behind her propped her feet up on both of her armrests.
Oh, heck no.
So there's a woman sitting in her aisles. Or there's three seats, and there wasn't anybody sitting in the two seats next to her. And the woman behind props up, puts her feet in between
the seats
and just kicks back her
That's
feet.
That's happened to me at the movie theaters.
Oh, man.
Yes.
See, I'm always, if I see somebody near me, because I like to put my feet through. But
But
if somebody's sitting near me, I won't do that.
Weird to me. You are one of those people.
I'm one of those people.
That's happened to me a couple times, and then I'm like, would I be rude if I wanted to move a couple down? Because this dude just had his feet on my armrests.
I'm that guy. I'll take off
that
my shoes and
so
socks.
That is so weird to me.
Just kind of stretch out.
Oh, man. Somebody said this is America where businesses have the right to refuse service to anyone for any reason at any time. End of story. They're lucky they even got a refund. After an altercation on a flight nowadays, you could end up on a no-fly list where they need to be more careful with their actions. Man. Somebody else said those people who complain are usually people who don't have kids, or perhaps they had kids so long ago they forgot what it was like. No, for real. Because anytime I'm on, even if I'm flying solo and there's a parent with a kid, I'm usually pretty sensitive to that because it's like, dude, I get it. I would say, I got three boys, man. That's like my go-to line. I got three boys, dude. Yeah. I totally understand. Cause you know, you're like already like nervous. You're traveling with your kids or whatever. Maybe it's a movie, whatever it is. And it's like, hey, stop apologizing. They're children.
Yeah.
Like they're being kids.
Right.
But on the flip side, if somebody hadn't turned around and said, tie your kids' feet together.
I know, right?
Oh, man.
I got to read what this lady said about the person behind her.
Yeah, I need to know.
That put their feet through the seats in her aisle, because this is really funny. She says, I was flying back home yesterday and was thrilled to discover that I was the only person seated in my row. It's right up there with being upgraded to first class.
Right.
I even left all the armrests up so I could live it up on my private bench in the sky. A few minutes in, one of the armrests came crashing down. I looked over, figuring there was a loose hinge or something. A few minutes later, a foot slowly emerged like a lizard hatching from an egg and seeing its first light of day. Just beyond that, another foot. I leaned back close to my chair to snap a picture without being seen in between the seats. It's such a great photo because of these feet. Or just chilling on the armrest.
Dude, right next to her.
Right next to her.
Oh, heck no. Do you say something? Because, I mean, it's the seat. It's the seat next to you, technically.
You get the
So there's nobody in that seat. So she has her feet propped up on those armrests.
Yeah, I think that's what
you do.
You totally, you tattletale, man.
You've got to. That's nasty.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Kim says, Dex, you need to go to the movie theater that have recliners.
Yeah, man.
For real. Stop putting your feet on people's armrests.
Yeah, the Spider-Man, I went and watched Spider-Man at a theater close to us here.
Yeah, yeah.
And holy cow.
Recliner seats?
Yes.
Did you fall asleep?
Oh, that was the first time I watched Spider-Man.
I saw Rogue One
did.
There. And I seriously, it was like, I got to put my seat down. Because you're just like,
I left
chilling.
Right after the show to go watch it, and that was the worst thing
it's
I
like
could have done.
It's like the post-Thanksgiving movie every time. What? Ugh. Yep. Richard says, I'm with you, Dex. I love putting my feet up. So there are mm-hmm. other people like you.
Got to stretch it out, man.
Stephanie is thoroughly grossed out. She also said, I'd say someone needs to tape their mouth shut. I just couldn't imagine. People are so rude,
man.
I'd
start tickling his feet. That's what I would do. I would just start tickling the feet.
Oh, gosh. Somebody said, I think the only way a one-year-old can even reach the back of the front person's seat is if the parents were holding him in their lap, allowing them to kick on the headrest or back of the chair.
Yeah, and I can totally see parents doing that.
I can, too.
I've seen it happen.
Somebody else said, I would have controlled my kid, acknowledged what she did, and then did my best to control her. But if the passenger in front was unreasonable, I would have been an adult and started kicking the seat myself, then calmly, politely would have taken my refund. Man! Somebody said, Starmy's getting a little sidetracked because the story really has nothing to do with the child. It's the childish actions of the parents that's the issue. Man. Yeah, you watch the video and they are just... They are fired up.
Yeah, they are.
Fired up.
They're from New York.
Timby says we lack common courtesy nowadays. Everybody needs to just calm down, have more manners in public, period. Yeah.
Take a chill pill, brah.
Some decency, maybe. Human decency. What does it mean?
Mm-hmm. All right, we got to take a break. 585 Live if you want to text into the show. You can also go to Star 88FM on Facebook and watch and listen to the show. When we come back, we'll go over the signs you're living the modern American dream. We'll figure out why scientists believe we can't quit Facebook. I can't quit it, man. I can't quit you, Facebook.
I mean...
We'll be right back.
What's going on in the news today?
The commission set up to investigate what the president claimed was widespread fraud during the last election is holding its first meeting.
Any form of illegal or fraudulent voting, whether by non-citizens or the deceased, must be stopped.
The president said inaction on Obamacare is not an option.
The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled the government must include grandparents as bona fide family members exempt from President Trump's travel ban.
The material girl is suing to keep some of her materials from being auctioned off.
Used underwear. A hairbrush, private photographs taken at a party at her home, other letters and tapes of unreleased music.
Another record day on Wall Street.
The hit song of the summer is called Despacito, which means slowly in English, but it's quickly become the most streamed song of all time.
The Congressional Pig Book highlights what's considered wasteful government spending.
A Stanford University study took a look at how speed dating can help determine what makes up the perfect first date.
Waverly is this Sunday, guys. Right here, Calvary, Albuquerque.
Somebody actually just chimed in, wanted to know where on Calvary's campus they can buy the tickets. It's at Parchment's Bookstore, which is on the east end. And when you're coming down the stairs, there's like a little coffee shop and a bookstore right there. At the bookstore.
$10, guys. $10.
It's the only place to get them ahead of time, and I promise you it will be way less of a headache if you do so.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show, Waverly. It's their last show, guys. Last reunion show ever. Plus, Teo's going to be back. Missed that, dude. 738.
High today keeps going down, actually. Now it's saying 88 degrees.
Rain today? We're going to get some monsoons?
Yep, looks like it.
All right. Traffic!
Taking a look at the roads. There is an accident reported. I-40 West at University Boulevard. That's exit 159. It's actually just a disabled vehicle on the road. So it's kind of jamming things up there, as well as I-25 southbound from Paseo as you head towards the Big Eye. It's getting a little backed up from the morning commute. Nothing else going on. No accidents to report at this time. That's your look at traffic. This traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit. Located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B, BearCanyonCrossFit.com or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
A recent survey had people name the top signs you're living the American dream.
Okay.
It's not exactly clear what that means. But
yeah,
they
it is,
posted,
dude. Wife, three kids, dog, cool radio job.
Oof.
American dream! We have the exact same life. You realize that? We have the dog. We have the three kids.
We do.
Whoa. Got the radio gig.
We do.
Yeah.
I just, wow.
I literally just realized that too. Like in
we
this
have
moment,
the exact same
when I was
life.
Mocking the American dream. Yeah. Well, guys, that's not the American dream.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless you want to wake up in cold sweats.
Okay.
Just shaking, and not understanding how you got here.
Speaking
more
of
like
that,
the American
I'm
nightmare.
Sorry. Landon, my youngest son, came up to me yesterday and goes, "Dad, do you ever have night terrors?"
Oh gosh.
I was like, "What? What?" My son is almost 12. What do you night terrors? What
yeah,
are you talking
have you
about?
Had night terrors?
And he said this. He paused his YouTube video and then he asked me the question. Yeah. So he found he's all into these conspiracy theories. Like he's in it deep
so
on YouTube, and. So he's asking me, yeah, have you ever had night terrors? And I'm like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know I get those night terrors.
Almost every night, son. He's like, really? Yeah. And I just walked out of the room. He was like, whoa, my dad is so cool. And then I found out later that he was watching a documentary on AIDS. And he now thinks I'm going to die.
Huh.
It's great. Yeah. Anyways, back to this list, the American Dream. They posted a list of the top 30 answers. There are a few big ones like owning a $40,000 car and having at least $35,000 in savings.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa, the American Dream.
I am not living that dream. Wow.
But here are 10 that are a lot more attainable.
Okay, good, because I'm like... thinking there's no way we'll ever have any of that. So that's good.
And this is a good thing to go over because it's a nice reminder of how good we as Americans have it. Even if it doesn't feel that way. Number 10, being able to take a day off of work without having to worry about being fired.
Ooh, I did that recently.
You did that recently?
Yes, American dream!
Yeah!
Just living it.
Most of us can do that. Having a fridge with an ice dispenser.
Oh.
Mine's broken.
Mine's too. Dude, are we Whoa! Living or we're the same person?
That's crazy.
2 years ago, we went to Disneyland and accidentally left the freezer open. Like, so when we got home, everything was like.
Oh my gosh.
Thawed out and weird. And our ice machine has never worked since. And I'm too lazy. I've tried. I shouldn't say too lazy. I have YouTubed everything. I've bought 3 different replacement parts. I mean, we tried defrosting the whole thing with, like, everything.
Wow.
No clue. Something's jammed in there, and I just don't want to pay to fix it.
Yeah.
Bags of
I'm
ice.
Not a nice guy anyway.
Bags of ice.
See,
every time there. Somebody new comes to the house, they go, and I'm like, oh, no, it's in the actual freezer. There's a bag of ice in there. Yeah. We're ghetto.
Yeah. Feel free to add to the list if you think, you know, what are some things that you believe is living the American dream?
Okay.
What kinds of things should be on this list? That you look for in having that lifestyle, living the American dream. Another one was owning a big screen TV. And I feel like that's just most guys.
Yeah.
Especially if you're in your 20s.
Define big screen, though, because I thought I had a cool TV, and then I went over to Nate's house, and I was like, I hate everything.
That's the worst. You feel like you have the best.
I had
best.
A cool TV, like, 9 years ago.
Yeah.
And then when you it was show new up. And cool.
Oh, I feel you. And that's just a guy thing.
I was like, what is that? Like a 60-inch? 90. I'm like,
a 90?
I'm just kidding. I don't know what it is. We're going to ask him today. It's like this thick.
Oh, he's got one of those?
It's like.
Is it one of those wallpaper TVs? Remember when we were watching that video?
I don't know. It's the nicest TV I've ever seen.
Wow. Okay.
American dream, dog.
This is a weird one. Shopping at Whole Foods.
Because you can afford it? Is that American dream?
You know what?
You're like,
yeah.
Woo! Whole Foods, American dream!
There is definitely a different... Okay, you think about going to Walmart food shopping.
Yeah.
And think about going to Whole Foods.
No, you're right.
And food shopping. It's a completely different type of person.
You know what's hilarious, though? We do both every week.
We do both as well.
Because you get, like, the veggies and stuff. You want, like, the greens and that from... that place because they're like fresh and whatever, or like a Sprouts or something like that. Are Sprouts and Whole Foods kind of the same thing?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Okay.
Kind of.
Just like a, I don't know.
Having enough free time to do leisurely stuff like going on walks or bike rides.
Ugh. What if you have enough time, but you just want to play video games instead?
See, I feel like that's
You've
part
been going
of the American
on
dream.
Walks.
I have. Walk runs.
Oh. People are chiming in on the American dream. Having good health insurance? Is that on the list?
Wasn't in the top 10.
Okay. Owning a Prius.
Wow. Is it bad that I'm at that stage in my life where I kind of wish I had a Prius? Just because of the gas mileage? I drive a tank and it gets like 12 miles to the gallon.
I don't own a Prius, but I'll tell you what. My little Mazdarth, I love the gas mileage that I get. I love it.
I don't drive anywhere. I only drive to work because I can't afford to drive it.
I didn't realize how nice it was until like we went to Phoenix. You know, when I went to Texas and then we went to Phoenix and the road tripping, and I got home and I realized, wait. Round trip and like busting through everything we did, I think I spent like $70 total in gas. Gosh. You know what I mean? And it was like, wow, this thing like, okay. Champion. See,
that makes up for it right there. Yeah. Car payment, that makes up for it.
It does. Somebody said having an actual retirement plan in effect. Is that on the list?
Wasn't in the top 10.
I actually have one of those. Having a Netflix or Hulu account.
That was number one.
Shut up!
Having a Netflix subscription was number one as far as...
How is that the American dream?
I agree with that 100%.
That's number one on the list of living the American dream? Okay, tell me.
Explain it. This is me, and I feel like I must be the average, typical American stupid person.
Okay.
Because I was sitting there on my bed the other day watching Netflix, and I looked up to the heavens and I said, Lord,
this is it, man.
Thank you.
This is it.
Thank you so much for Netflix.
Season 7, episode 14 of Friends, man.
I am binging. I'm on like episode 7. I've just gone through like 5 in a row, and I'm just loving life, and I'm going, I have a great job. Yeah, things can get difficult in my life, but man, I got Netflix.
Okay.
And my mom pays for it. Thank you, Mom, for letting me on your Netflix account. I love you.
Dude, my boy Andrew just chimed in. Andrew Huebner, Mazdarth guy. Guy who gave me Mazdarth. Oh, yeah. I mean, he didn't give it to me, but, you know, Mazdarth.
Sure.
Bearded quality dude. He said that my Mazda gets 40 miles to the gallon. That's why. I get 40. I didn't realize that. I knew it was good, but I didn't realize it was that good. Yeah, dude.
In town? 40 miles in town?
I think like once every 2 weeks, I'm like, oh, time to get gas.
Wow.
It used to be like every 5 days and it cost stupid amounts of money. Now it's like $17 every two weeks. Yeah. Sorry, guys. That is definitely American dream living right there. Somebody said sipping lobster butter from champagne glasses.
Oh, yes. Lobster butter.
The lobster butter. Somebody said, wow, $35,000 in savings. Are you sure it's not $35,000 in debt to be living the American dream? No, that's very true. I think that's it. That's part of the problem with these American dream things is you want to attain that level of whatever.
That lifestyle.
That lifestyle. Yeah. That will be, because it's like, this is the American dream. This is what I need. And you find yourself in so much debt because you can't afford it. But for some reason, people are telling you that's what it is. Once you have this, once you have that, you know, that house and that, you know, oh, man.
Yep. Oh, man. I have been there.
Don't fall into that trap.
It is a dark trap, man.
Somebody said Netflix is lame, dog. You need to get a Fire Stick.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
True. Yeah. Heard good things. I don't have one. We're talking about this survey. They had people name the top signs you're living the modern American dream. 585 Live if you want to text in or Facebook Live.
Indian School in Wantabo, accident reported there. You're living the American dream when you can text in with an update for your friends.
Thanks, homie.
Yeah, thanks, Starmie. That's really cool. Taking a look at Facebook Live because all of this has just been Liveline. Patrice says, oh, man. I wonder, she's got a Mazda as well. She says she only gasses up like once a month.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. You have enough money to not have to worry about anything, so you can do something you enjoy daily. Good job there. Having refrigerated air conditioning. Tommy?
Oh yeah.
American dreamer!
Dude, for real. That is so great.
However, not the American dream is when 3 days ago I got my P&M bill.
Oh, man, you got to upgrade that bad boy.
And had a heart attack.
You have to upgrade your system, bro. Dude, the owners of my lovely house, they upgraded to this conditioning unit that our bill isn't that much, and we keep that thing on all the time.
Okay, but how much is not that much? Because my
it's
bill
like
normally
$600 bucks a month. It's not a big deal at all. I'm kidding.
Because our bills have been like, you know, average, what, like 150, 175 maybe?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
175. That's a lot of money for 1 month of electricity. So I get my bill this last month, and granted, it's been really hot, and we don't keep it like super cold in the house, but like, oh, refrigerated air, you can just, oh my gosh, no, like, I'm talking like 72, like,
yeah,
like keep it at like 75 maybe during the day to where it doesn't have to work so hard, and then like 72, you know, whatever. You don't dip into those 60s, man.
Oh, because, 60s. You know, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
Through the roof. So I'm thinking, all right, it's probably going to be like 200, 215 this month, you know, because it's July. And I get my bill and seriously almost fainted because I have this thing with the boys like, hey, if you leave a light on, dude, we're going to have problems. Make sure you turn the lights off. These are your small roles. These are little jobs, man. And like every day it seemed like I'd come home and one of them had left the closet light on and I wasn't super getting after them. Oh, they're grounded for the rest of their lives.
Oh my gosh. How much was the bill?
$380.
Man, okay. Woo! $380.
Dude. Ugh. So American dream, living refrigerated air, $380.
Oh,
that's more than mine and my wife's car payments combined.
It's cool, man. It's really cool in your house.
I couldn't believe it. It was like, are you sure? I'm gonna call them. I just wanna. Can you guys come check the meter? Oh, it's right? Okay, thank you so much.
Can you split that up into payments,
please?
Thank you
so very, very much. Yeah.
Goodness.
So apparently, not only was there like a price hike, but it was, you know, like the hottest month on record.
Dude, Joel on Facebook says, $378 was my bill and it was worth it.
Oh, gosh. Joel, that's crazy. Ugh. That's crazy talk.
Gosh.
I could have bought another Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right? Like, I'm tired of the boys using mine. I want to play some Zelda. Here, you guys, here's a Nintendo Switch. Nope! Just paying to make our house cool in the summer. It's seriously the most I've ever seen in my entire life, and I like, almost fainted.
Man.
I could not believe it. Guys, that's top signs, stupid.
Top signs, you're living the modern American dream. You guys chime in. What do you think is living the modern American dream?
Liz said her Fire Stick. That's the American dream, dog. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Man. Stephanie thinks the reason why Netflix was number one is because it means you have the internet. It means you have a bank account, some sort of device to watch it on. So yeah. It's like, hey, man, you're living the dream. You've got all this. Patrice says she doesn't want to be an American anymore because this is crazy.
A couple more things on the list. Being able to donate old clothes to Goodwill because you don't like them anymore. I don't know. There's something good about just boxing up all your old clothes and things you don't need anymore and just hauling them down to Goodwill.
I make Brody because he's spoiled and grandparents, man. Oh, my gosh. Like once a month, it seems like we are getting a box and it's like, all right, let's grab some toys you literally have looked at once in the last month.
Mm-hmm.
Let's box them up and let's go donate them. Let's go give them away. Let's go. Not everybody has grandparents that spoil you and take you to Walmart like every day.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So I think that's awesome. Jay Marie says having an operating vehicle, gas, and insurance. Good old insurance. You always need that insurance. American dream.
American dream.
Listening to Star 88. Very American. Thank you, Victor. Agreed.
You guys are so spoiled.
American dream. Except right now, not everybody's living that American dream because for some people, the app hasn't been working.
Yeah,
it's working fine on my phone.
Yeah, working on mine too.
But then some are like, I reinstalled it. I don't know what to do. Check your iOS. Make sure you're operating the latest operating system on your phone. Don't forget these things are like mini computers. When was the last time you restarted it?
Yeah, restart your phone.
Yeah. Because I don't know, man. It's working just fine over here. And then I've also heard on certain... browsers. It's not working.
Huh.
Like, yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand, guys. I don't know.
Another one, having steak at least once a month.
Okay.
Being able to buy gadgets every now and then, like a new phone. And voting, because it means you are a U.S. citizen.
That's cool.
There's your top 10 as far as living that modern American dream.
Somebody said my boyfriend has the new Chevy Volts. He traveled to Los Alamos every day for work. He spends about $17 to fill up like every other week.
Goodness.
Thank God for electric cars. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Somebody else said, yeah, keeping my house at 72 degrees. I have a 2,000 square foot house. My bill was $470. Thank you so much, Starmy.
$470?
Thank you for giving me that.
Oh, my
gosh. I feel less terrible. Because there are times where I'm, like, uncomfortable in the house. It's like, nope, we're putting the fans on, and I'm, like, sweaty, and it's gross. But I'm like, nah, man, don't want to rack up that crazy bill. And that's why. $470.
That's insane.
More and more houses I've seen with, like, solar paneling.
Oh, yeah.
Have you, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
We were thinking about looking into that, and then I realized, but how much does that cost?
Right.
They're like, look, man, you're not going to have to spend any more on your electric bill. It costs $57,000 to get them, but. Yeah.
Because I have a unit downstairs, and I have a unit upstairs. Yeah.
What, are you made of money?
No, but the people that own the house are.
Oh, right. Renters.
And but whatever unit they got, it controls it so well.
Man, that's cool.
Like our bill isn't through the roof.
Literally.
And it's like 70. We keep it at like 69, 70 degrees.
See, I always thought the winter months were worse because like the heat rises. And so like upstairs gets heated and then downstairs stays cold because we only have one little thermostat downstairs.
Yeah.
So it's constantly pumping out heat. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, blankets, guys. Blankets. We're going to survive this winter with hoodies and blankets. Somebody said the American dream is the opportunity to wake up every morning with endless possibilities and the ability to choose any of those possibilities and make them a reality. That was the dopest answer.
Beautiful. So yeah. True. But man, how blessed are we?
Yeah.
Seriously. Don't take it for granted. Just love that Netflix. I tell you. 585 Live if you want to text in. When we come back, we'll talk science. They figured out a reason why you can't quit Facebook. We'll go over some more headlines. Hang out with us.
The Morning Invasion with Dex and Steve-O.
Come on!
Let's do this.
High today of 88 degrees.
Traffic.
Taking a look at the roads. Disabled vehicle I-40 West at University Boulevard. That's exit 159. Unfortunately, my map looks like a teenager because it just blew up with red dots everywhere. There are accidents going on.
Man.
Yeah. Wantable Boulevard North at Indian School. Through traffic lanes, completely blocked due to an accident. Also, if you are on San Pedro North near Zuni, completely blocked right now as well. San Mateo or Louisiana, those are your alternate paths that you should take because it is cray-cray. And again, that disabled vehicle I mentioned, I-40 West at University. They're doing some bridge maintenance work right there at I-40 West at I-25. It's getting pretty jammed up over there. So that's your look at traffic.
Traffic!
Welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome. Dex and Steve-O. We all love Facebook. Most of us do. 99% of you listening probably have a Facebook page. And we love it. We can't quit it, man. We can't quit it. I'll find myself scrolling through that news feed, and I don't even know why.
I want to know this because I will tell you right now, I am not addicted to Facebook.
I am. I
don't know if it's just because I didn't even have a Facebook until Star 88, until a couple years ago when we switched over to Star 88. I just didn't even have one. On Instagram, however, like I loves me some Instagram, but I don't know.
Are you addicted to Instagram, bro?
Marvel contest of champions.
Yeah, you are. You're addicted to that for sure.
It's my game.
See, I don't have a game that I'm playing right now.
I've been playing that game for over 2 years.
I'm not playing any Xbox games right now.
Dude, I hadn't been playing in a long time, and we have some friends in town from Mississippi, and they were like, you got a Switch? How are you loving Zelda? And I'm like, I played it like once. It's just so, there's so much to do in it. It's like Skyrim, you know, it's like open world that I just like anxiety just kicked in
that.
And it was like, I can't do this.
I'm a fan of that.
I've been playing every day this week with them because she was like showing me different things. And I have spent some hours this week playing it. I think you probably would actually.
Do you ever,
it's a lot of fun.
Do you ever feel really guilty about the time that you spend with, whether it's your game or Facebook or playing, you know, your Switch? Do you ever feel guilty? Like, man,
I understand what that's, what did it mean?
Okay.
I mean,
do you ever feel like you, what the time that you've put
life.
In, the time you've put into that game,
mm-hmm.
it's not giving anything back to you.
It's giving enjoyment and satisfaction.
No, it's not. No, it's really not.
I'm accomplishing things,
no.
Okay? I took down a divine beast yesterday. When was the last time you took down a divine beast?
No, see, my point exactly. It gives nothing back. Think about that.
Yeah.
We're not doing anything in our lives. Most of us aren't doing anything in our lives that actually help us.
But it's entertainment.
But there should be like a small window of entertainment in our lives.
But
the rest should be working towards making ourselves better.
You've seen, thank you, Michael Jackson. You've seen Hear the World.
Yeah.
Making a better place. For Dax and for Steve and the entire human race, there are people dying.
Yeah, there are.
Something to live
and there's Steve-O just on his app.
You've seen Spider-Man Homecoming twice.
I know.
That's almost 5 hours.
I'm guilty of it, man.
Did you get anything out of it?
Listen.
No. You got to answer me now.
Yeah, entertainment.
Oh, exactly.
Entertainment. But
exactly.
That, it didn't improve my life at all. That improved my life. Zero.
I completely disagree.
What?
It can be a de-stressor.
Okay, sure. But that
we
but
need
like,
to unwind.
But like I'm saying, it should be a small window in our lives every day.
I don't play video games 9 hours a day.
Okay. Right? Yeah. Right,
dude.
Yeah.
I'm not playing video games like that often.
All right. Uh huh. Yeah. Listen, I feel it. Whether it's the conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Then you need to do something about it. That's personal, dog.
I honestly feel like a lot of us feel the exact same thing. We know that we spend too much time on stupid things. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with doing those things, but we spend way too much time. And it doesn't better our lives.
Yeah.
You know, we need to get up and start walking. We need to get up and start moving around because our bodies were created. God created these bodies to walk, not just sit there. Anyways,
what just happened?
I want to talk about this. Why we can't quit Facebook.
Which, by the way, hey, update. I just heard from multiple news sources as well as a member of the Starmy through the live line and people texting in. The accident on San Pedro and Zuni was fatal.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. So that area is completely blocked off. Please seek alternate route. Also be praying because there was a fatal accident in our city, right? Like just happened. So
guys, drive safe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, Facebook.
You want to quit Facebook. I want to quit Facebook.
Mm.
Everyone I know wants to quit Facebook. But none of us do. We don't know how to get out. How do we stop this addiction? A new study found that we're all hopelessly addicted to Facebook for one reason above anything else. It lets us silently judge our friends.
No, dude. Okay.
And we love doing that so much that we can't look away. The researchers even found we're willing to put up with all of the offensiveness and nonsense people are posting just for the sake of that one moment where we get to judge someone and maybe feel superior to them.
You are crazy.
I'm not crazy.
I mean, this article is crazy.
Yeah. I would say That's probably true with a lot of people.
I disagree with this research, man.
Think about, though, when you're on Facebook, what do you see the most of? You see Facebook fights.
Yeah.
You see people calling other people out constantly.
Yeah, if you like go down the rabbit hole of comments, I'm
the guy who loves to read the comments.
Oh gosh.
I'm the guy that posts the picture, the little meme of Michael Jackson eating the popcorn. Like, I'm just here for the comments. That's me. I love to read the comments.
The sad thing is I knew that little gif right away. Him like in Thriller, just like eating it up.
Yep.
Eating it up.
Don't worry, guys. I'm just here for the comments. That's me. It lets us silently judge our friends, and we love doing it so much that we can't look away. I mean, for me, that's not the reason why I can't quit Facebook. I honestly kind of just enjoy seeing what other people are doing.
Yeah.
And that's it.
There are members of the Starmie who straight up join Facebook simply so that they can watch Facebook Live.
Oh, wow.
So they can catch our feed. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So, I mean, I think for the majority of people, maybe that could be true, but I don't know. I do enjoy seeing what's going on in other people's lives. When I jump on, it's like, oh, cool, or what's happening? And the news that hits, usually it's nerdy comic book news, like Teo dropping something that, oh, I didn't know this yet. They cast this actor as blah. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of where you get your news as well, which can be dangerous because you got to cite sources, man. Yeah. Oh, man. Katrina says, stuff. I share Jesus on Facebook.
There you
Greg
go.
Says, bring back MySpace.
Bring MySpace, back MySpace is still there, bro.
And then he said, what? It never left? Yeah. But to your point, like feeling guilty about, I don't know, the entertainment aspect of it. Come on.
Again, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Somebody said the only reason I stay on Facebook is the video chains. It just plays a related video for me. I don't even have to push a button to play the next video. It's like YouTube for me.
I know. I get sucked into those holes.
Y'all are crazy. Somebody said I use Facebook to communicate with acquaintances without giving out my phone number. Yeah.
Mm.
That's good. I like that.
Good morning.
Morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Just wanted to give my two cents here on this Facebook and the video game thing here.
Yes.
So first, the video game thing. I'm guilty of spending a few hours, maybe a little more a week playing video games. But for me, I've got three boys, and it allows me to be a kid with them again.
Oh, dude.
Sometimes I just sit and watch them. Sometimes I play. Sometimes they'll just sit and watch me.
Yep.
Just mm-hmm. It's a good time to. I don't know. I mean, I have a ton of memories from playing, you know, video games with my brothers, and you know, it allows me to kind of connect with them on another level, you know, playing video games and bonding like that. So
I'm so glad you brought that aspect up, because seriously, last night my 13-year-old was sitting on the couch next to me, and we were trying to figure out these puzzles in Zelda, and I got stuck, and I was getting so frustrated, and Jack started coming up with like, well, why don't you try this? And why don't you? And he ended up figuring out the puzzle, and we're like high-fiving each other, having this really rad like father-son moment. And it was like, I love everything about this.
Hmm.
Thank you, Nintendo.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I love absolutely. It. It's so great.
Yeah.
Oh,
thanks, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
So there's that. And then the one thing I wanted to say about Facebook, because I my wife is hopelessly addicted to it as well. And one of the things that I tell her, and I kind of, you know, with others, you know, whenever we're talking about Facebook and stuff, is, you know, it allows you, anything that people put on Facebook, most often are their happy memories, right? Mm-hmm. Something, a concert they're going to, or a vacation they're on, or just good things, right? No one's really going to put the bad things that are happening in their lives. And so what happens a lot of is that we see just the good parts. And sometimes, you know, unfortunately, it's not even real, right? Some people are just posting pictures just to make it look like a facade of happiness. And, the way I said it to my wife was, you know, you're allowing other people's maybe sometimes fake happiness to dictate and make you, you know, dictate your life and make you feel truly unhappy in your life. And you're looking at everyone's memories and not truly enjoying and being thankful for your life right now.
Good
and
call.
Instead, like you guys said, judging everything and everyone else. So,
yeah.
I think, you know, sometimes when I kind of drop that knowledge on some people, it makes them think and, you know, second guess themselves on whether, you know, if that's truly what they're doing on Facebook. So.
Yeah, it's so true, man. It lets us silently judge our friends. And I think that's what we're doing
even if we don't think we are, if you really, truly sit there for a second and think about while you're scrolling through the news feed, looking at what everybody's doing, you are kind of just sitting there judging like what they're doing. Their life looks so good, or man, their life is a train wreck. And that's what you're doing without you even realizing it.
Totally. Totally. And I feel like it just sometimes makes you, like you said, scrolling through there, looking at everything and everyone, and whether you realize it or not, it might be subconsciously, you're allowing all that stuff to impact your life. And now maybe you want whatever it is that you see people having it. And before you didn't.
Vacation.
And because you can't have, exactly, you vacations, you know, whatever it is. And because you can't have it right now, now you become upset. Now you become depressed. Now, you know, your life is not as fulfilling when before it was perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And so that's why I stay away from it. I truly enjoy, you know, life.
Good.
Enjoy my boys.
Good
for family,
you.
So.
There you go, man.
Thanks for sharing, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a good night.
You too.
585 Live, 585-5483 if you'd like to chime in. Or, of course, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/star88FM. My favorite part is plugging Facebook as we're talking about hating Facebook. I don't hate Facebook.
I don't hate Facebook.
But I guess I'm not. I don't know. I'm the opposite of the, I don't spend any time scrolling on the feed.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, this is going to sound terrible, but I mean, everybody already knows who I am. So, I immediately just go to my notifications, like the third one, and go, let's see. Okay. This person commented on my photo. Let's see what they said about, okay, that's cool. All right. This, you know, and I just go through like my notifications. I can't remember the last time I like scrolled through my feed. Yeah. I don't do that.
See, I mostly enjoy doing that.
I just
that.
Care about me.
I like, yeah. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
I like all the viral videos that people post because I get sucked into those. There's so much to the news feed that I enjoy.
I just never got sucked into that YouTube life. You know what I mean?
See,
so it's like, meh.
Facebook is a joke.
Okay.
Somebody just chimed and said, guys, I hate Facebook. I'm on Facebook all the time complaining about how I hate Facebook. Somebody else said, I'm so glad I deleted my Facebook. It was rough at first getting used to the sunlight again, but totally worth it. Man, another member of the Starmie chimed in saying the worst thing about these new Pokemon games. They bought 3 Pokemon games a few weeks ago. Is keeping track of how many hours I played. Between the 3 games I have, I've played over 60 hours in the last 3 weeks.
No! Wow.
Talk about getting sucked in. What is wrong with me? Ha ha ha. No, that's real. That's you should pause that thing, man. Like you should pause that thing and go outside.
Yeah.
Go outside. Somebody said Facebook is an appearance of popularity. I have hundreds of friends on Facebook. Well, I have thousands. I'm just kidding. I quit Facebook dependence. The only time I jump on is to see what you crazy guys are doing, but I listen more. In fact, I was bothered that you guys Facebook Live and quit the web streaming. But other than that, I did without Facebook most of my life. Rather not be hung up on it. I know. I'm sorry, y'all.
Yeah, I know.
This was freer than like what we were doing before. So
yeah,
I was like, oh, we can do this for free on Facebook. Well, let's just make this our webcam.
Right. Yeah. And thank you so much. If you didn't have a Facebook page and you just created one just so you could watch and listen to the show. Thank you. That's awesome.
Seriously. And honestly, that's what it comes down to, because we were having to pay a service in order to rock a webcam, and it was kind of spotty and whatever. And at least now it's like, and here's this free service that you can join us on to catch the show. And yeah. I mean, we got to be good stewards of the money that we have, because this is a ministry first.
According to your Facebook page, we aren't friends.
Okay. What? Somebody said, seriously, this is crazy, but I'm just like Steve-O. I never go through the newsfeed. I post pictures because I'm a photographer. I just never go through the newsfeed. I don't scroll, man.
Yeah. I'm a scroller.
You're a scroller.
I'm a scroller.
I think aside from the political tirades and random posts, Facebook is good for birthdays and funny memes. Yeah. Mm. Somebody else said, just like you. Oh, I already read that one. Cool. Are we good?
We're talking about how science has figured out the reason you can't quit Facebook. And they said it's because, well, it lets us silently judge our
friends. What's the science behind it, though? Where does the science kick in? We haven't said anything scientific.
Hey, man, it's science, bro. That's all they need to say.
No, that's all you've said. Is it's like, nah, brah. It's science. According to the research, we're judgers. Where's the science?
It says one of the most notable things we found in our research was the high number of people who said that they were frequently offended by what their friends posted.
The sorts of things that caused offense ran the gamut from extremist or strongly held political opinions to oversharing of daily routines and acts of inadvertent self-promotion. I don't know, man. I don't know if it explains the science or not.
Yeah, let's talk about the science, man.
No science.
That's, I mean, this was your...
But they're scientists, man. Let's leave the science to them, okay?
Is it because of, like, some sort of chemical in our brain? Like, we're addicted to watching other people fail? Like, what's going on here? It's releasing endorphins, getting to judge people? Like, I don't understand.
The reason these reactions happen so often was due to various factors. Native to the sort of communication technology that Facebook represents. First, there's this specific type of diversity that exists among people's online networks. See, this is all just the science, and it's confusing, and it doesn't make sense, Steve-O, so let's just leave it at that. Stupid. It's just dumb.
Well, some scientific researchers said this, so this must be true.
Scientists figured it out. Leave it at that, bro. Why do you got to make it all complicated, dude?
Because you haven't explained any science behind it.
We don't have to, man. We don't have to. That's what's great about it. That's why scientists went to school for so many years.
Oh,
that's why they get paid the big bucks, bro.
Yeah.
The one thing I think I get upset. I'm not even upset. It's probably jealousy is when I do see a lot of people on those sweet vacations.
Well, that's what somebody said. FOMO, bro. It's a big reason to not want to unplug from it. The fear of missing out.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're going to miss out on something.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Patrice says watching you guys is the most I'm on Facebook. Joel never scrolls down his Facebook feed either.
Don't start. Just stay away.
Derek got Facebook 4-hour show.
Thank you, Derek.
Best 4 hours of his day. Longest he's on Facebook. Nice.
Thank you.
Okay, so here's the thing. According to studies, you get a hit of dopamine every time you get social media reaction, likes, shares, etc. There's a little bit of science.
That's true.
Somebody else said, I wonder often if a lot of my friends that post being at the gym aren't just parked in the parking lot and then drive away after they tag themselves there. This is why I usually take a photo after when we're like really sweaty and gross.
Right.
Somebody said, my wife deleted her Facebook and our relationship improved dramatically because she would spend hours on the couch right next to me, but not actually present.
Mm.
Somebody else is saying, Steve-O is saying he doesn't scroll, but he just finished saying how he likes to see what friends do and what actors got what roles, etc. So how does he not scroll and see that stuff? Because 99.9% of the time, anytime something happens with comic books, somebody tags me in that and I get notified.
Mm.
So I check my notifications.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But for
good
real.
Call. Good call. I'll be watching him, guys. I'll be watching him. I'm gonna be keeping an eye on him to see if he's scrolling through the news feed. I'm gonna be looking.
Yeah, but when was the last time you ever saw me like on Facebook? Ever.
I don't know. He really just plays that stupid game all the time.
I do. I love it.
Whatevs.
I'm not saying I'm not addicted to my phone. I'm just saying I'm not addicted to Facebook.
Yeah.
Total difference.
Totally. Totally.
Oh man. I was about to give the phone number.
Oh, that's okay. Thank you, Goose.
585 Live is the live line. That's 585-5483 if you'd like to text in.
We're on Facebook Live at Star 88 FM. And you can call us at 338-3700 if you would like to pick up the phone and actually talk to us.
Speaking of Facebook Live, our girl Liz just chimed in and said, hey, can you give a great happy birthday to my grandson? Oh, that is a dope name.
What's the name?
I mean, right there. It is Izzyeth.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Izzy! Shout out to Izzy!
Izzy! Good job, man.
He turned 10 years old today. Oh, man. Never going back. No going back. You're in the double digits, dog.
10, bro.
That's it. It's all downhill from here.
Beautiful.
Somebody said, dang, Dex just made me realize I'm a scroller.
You're a scroller.
That's it. Here's why I'm not a scroller, man. Because you jump on Facebook. Here, little experiment. Let's see. First thing I see when I pop up on Facebook. Oh, memories of me. Cool. Let's look at these. I'm gonna look at those.
I love that feature.
I always check my memories.
Love
the
memory
feature. What was I doing? I love me. Oh, that's good. Taking the dog for a walk. Oh, YOLO.
YOLO, you only live once.
Yeah, that came out last year.
That's right.
A year ago, we rocked that Rolo.
That's a great song.
Or that YOLO. Let's see. Cool. We had a girl of Moore in studio. Nice, that was a cool memory. Nice. That's cool. Oh, on this day, 1 year ago, I started my X-Men sleeve. Got my Magneto tattoo. Thanks, Erickson.
That's cool.
That's great. Me. Okay, now I'll really scroll. George R.R. Martin collectibles have arrived. Mm-hmm. Mine's all comic books. That's pretty cool. I never read Game of Thrones. What was the one thing you cut out of your diet that really helped to aid in your goals? That's the next thing on my feed.
Great question.
It was one of those block color things where they, I still don't understand why people do that. Like, why?
The picture?
But it's not a picture. It's literally just like words in on a
meme. Is that a meme?
It's not a meme though. It's literally just like, here's a colored backdrop with letters.
Yeah. And that's like the new popular thing.
Oh. Because literally the very next thing is another one.
Yeah.
Why isn't prune juice called plum juice?
Because there's an actual feature on Facebook that makes that lets you create those.
Wait, that's a real question. Why isn't prune juice called plum juice?
I don't know. I feel like they could have Googled that.
Okay. The very next thing is another one of those things.
Wow.
Does anyone else think it's weird that we live in a galaxy called the Milky Way?
That's a great question.
Okay. The very next thing, this Sunday, Waverly, it's an event thing. It's an event thing. Very next thing is, my kids are beautiful a cappella singers.
Oh, I posted that.
That's you posting.
You guys
something.
Have to go to my Facebook page, Dex Toth. My kids next did this thing. Beautiful a cappella song. It's so beautiful.
We were finally able to book our Disney trip for April.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, those are the ones I hate.
Only 267 days to go.
Oh, good for you. You get to go to Disneyland. Oh, you get the perfect
somebody
family.
Somebody else posted photos about their kids at summer camp.
Kids can go to camp. That's great. Good for you.
Clopez posted a documentary that was filmed about his wife and their village.
I love documentaries.
Okay.
I'm going to have to go to his page.
Somebody named Dex Toth shared... a really funny video from Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh my gosh, you guys have to see that. That's
somebody
one of the greatest
else
stories.
Posted a Mortal Kombat video.
Okay, I'm done.
Yeah, exactly. No one has time for this junk. No one cares. But look at all my stuff, please.
Yeah, but on this day back in 2015, Landon and Caleb caught their first walleye in Montana.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's real cool, man.
Yeah. Got to interview and hang out with Philly from Korn back in 2010. That's cool.
Mm.
Just hanging with Philly. Last year, you were Pokemon crazy and Teo wanted to punch himself in the face. Okay. Facebook's dumb. I'm done. I'm quitting Facebook, guys. I'm just done. Wait a second. I need to check something first.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
Oh,
what did you do?
Oh, my gosh. Facebook just talked to me. Just talk to me, guys. All right, one more call, and we got to go to break. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hello.
I wish my wife would drop her Facebook straight up, but the name for the birthday is Isaiah. That's my nephew.
Yeah,
He's
Isaiah.
Thank you, with you guys.
That is so dope,
right
man.
On, man.
That's a cool name.
I like that name.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Pretty neat, but I love you guys. God bless you.
Hey, love you too.
Bro.
See you, man. All right, we got to take a break. Shock Therapy Live. Have you heard from Pastor Nate Heitzig?
I'm sure he'll be here.
Okay,
you know, sure. Why not?
Coming up at 9.
Somebody said I watched your acapella video, Dex, and I feel cheated. I think I should have figured out halfway through it wasn't going to actually become singing at any point.
What are you talking about?
I didn't watch the video, so I don't know.
Is that nice?
Somebody says I receive event reminders. My favorites are the Morning Invasion live notices. Yeah! Also, the Thunderbird Harley Davidson event reminders.
Yay!
I took Facebook off my phone. Figure if I want to post something, it can wait till I get home. Downside is you can't watch the Star 88 live stream in the browser version of Facebook. Oh, Chelsea. Put it back on, girl. Put it back on your phone.
Put it back on. Put it back on.
Somebody said, thank goodness that Dex is humble and selfless, unlike his co-host. I mean, I'm just being real, dog. Just being real. What's the purpose of Facebook?
Yeah.
If not to just pad your ego.
Sure. All right, we got to take a break. We got more headlines when we come back. Shock Therapy Live coming up at 9. We'll be right back.
Hey! What's going on?
today.
The commission set up to investigate what the president claimed was widespread fraud during the last election is holding its first meeting.
Any form of illegal or fraudulent voting, whether by non-citizens or the deceased, must be stopped.
The president said inaction on Obamacare is not an option.
The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled the government must include grandparents as bona fide family members exempt from President Trump's travel ban.
The material girl is suing to keep some of her materials from being auctioned off.
Used underwear. A hairbrush, private photographs taken at a party at her home, other letters and tapes of unreleased music.
Another record day on Wall Street.
The hit song of the summer is called Despacito, which means slowly in English, but it's quickly become the most streamed song of all time.
The Congressional Pig Book highlights what's considered wasteful government spending.
A Stanford University study took a look at how speed dating can help determine what makes up the perfect first date.
Coming up here at 9, Shock Therapy Live, Pastor Nate Heitzig. If you guys have questions for Pastor Nate Heitzig, send them in. You can text us at 585-LIVE or the email. You can send it to studio at star88.fm. It's an hour show with Pastor Nate Heitzig, and we're going to tackle whatever issues you got going on in your life. It's not a theology hour. We're not going to answer Bible trivia. It's all just things happening in your life that you would like to share. You need some advice. Pastor Nate Heitzig will tackle it with us coming up at 9.
I can see me running down the hall.
There you are.
Look at me running down the hall.
8:38.
High today of 88 degrees. Traffic. Well, guys, we mentioned this earlier. Wantable Boulevard North at Indian School. The through lanes are blocked there, so you need to be careful in that area. Also, San Pedro North at Zuni. Fatal accident. Completely shut down right now. Northbound San Mateo or Louisiana is your alternate. Also, eastbound, westbound Central or Gibson as an alternate route for you there. But San Pedro North at Zuni completely shut down due to a fatal accident. There's also a disabled vehicle, I-40 West at University, as well as some bridge maintenance work right near that area on I-40 West at I-25. So be careful in that area as well. That's your look at traffic. This traffic update brought to you by Bear Canyon CrossFit, located at 9533 Osuna, Suite B, BearCanyonCrossFit.com, or 505-293-2101. That's 505-293-2101. Thanks again to Bear Canyon CrossFit for this traffic update.
Okay. Anybody say anything before we jump into headlines? Anything you want to share?
Yeah, I remember this term. I said, Steve-O, dude, you got to check out Batman, Battle of the Jokes and Riddles. It's the latest Batman 25, 26, and 27. Epic series. Riddler teaming up with Batman to defeat the Joker. Sounds awesome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right on.
Okay. All right.
We choose to express ourselves through music.
Thank you.
Can I just kick it off with some random facts?
And now it's time for
random
facts.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, what's happening today, my friend?
He won't get through all five.
I can feel it.
Before the outro hits, he won't tonight. Do it. No. What happened?
Clint Eastwood, Burt Reynolds, Adam West, and Liam Neeson were all offered the role of James Bond, but turned it down.
That's crazy. Clint Eastwood would have been pretty good. No?
No. Clint Eastwood's always seemed like the tough guy, but not necessarily like the suave.
Yeah.
Like, think of a role where it was like, man, that's one smooth criminal right there.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah. I could see that, but like with Taken, Burt Reynolds was too comical and kind of Adam West for me as well.
Yeah.
Kind of. I don't know.
Hmm.
Okay, moving on. Number two. The current Oscar Mayer Wienermobile is built on a Mini Cooper chassis.
Ooh. Those are fun.
I bet you thought I was
going to
say chastis, didn't you? Didn't you?
No.
Number three. Elephants grow six different sets of teeth in their lives. Once the six ones fall out, they die of starvation.
Really?
That is awful, man. six different sets of teeth, but after the six. Number four, Diet Pepsi isn't vegan. However, Pepsi will not say what animal ingredient it uses that keeps it from being vegan because that's, quote, commercially sensitive information. This is why you never drink sodas. Coca-Colas.
I had a Coke Cokes. Zero.
Pops.
Steve-O.
Number five.
Oh, my gosh.
Hurricanes with female names kill about twice as many people as hurricanes with male names every year.
This has been today's edition of...
You were so close. I was very close. I only had like one and a half more sentences.
Yeah, if you would have stopped with like pop.
Okay, Diet soda. Pepsi isn't vegan. Wah. That's disgusting. Diet Pepsi is not vegan. Think about that for a second. That means there's an animal product in Diet Pepsi.
Oh.
Guys, be thoroughly grossed out and don't drink that junk.
Yeah, Diet Pepsi is just as bad as just regular Pepsi.
Ugh.
It's just as bad.
That makes me like super grossed out.
Artificial sweeteners, not good for you.
Not vegan. There's an animal product in Diet Pepsi.
What is it? I won't say.
I don't know. They won't say.
When they say commercially sensitive information, that scares the heck out of me.
Oh, man.
Doesn't that scare you?
Commercially sensitive information.
Commercially sensitive information.
I'm saying the last one anyways. Hurricanes with female names kill about twice as many people as hurricanes with male names, and here's why. We are sexist.
Oh.
As in, we don't take female hurricanes as seriously, therefore we don't take the right precautions. Good job, humanity.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
I honestly thought that all hurricane names were female. I didn't know they had male ones.
You don't remember Hurricane Steve?
Really?
Hurricane Trevor, man. Remember Hurricane Roger? It's crazy.
No, I don't remember those.
Hurricane Jeff, though. No. He was cool. He's a cool dude to hang out with. Like, what's up, Hurricane Jeff? I feel like I wouldn't make it.
Wow.
Good old Hurricane Stewart over there. Whatever. He's so passive. I can't think of a single hurricane with a dude name.
I don't think there is.
I'm checking right now.
I thought they were all female names.
I'm Googling dude hurricane names.
Dude hurricane names? Oh, man.
Boom!
Battle of the Hurricane Sexes.
Yeah. Alex? That could go both ways.
Yeah, that's definitely.
Bonnie?
That's girl.
These were all the hurricane names in 2016, by the way. Colin?
Okay.
Then there was Danielle. Hurricane Earl? Really?
Earl.
Earl? You're taking that seriously? Fiona?
It's a beautiful hurricane.
Hurricane Gaston.
Wow. Okay.
There was Hermione. Is this real?
Yeah. Whitney.
Ian, Julia. There was a Carl. Come on,
Sean.
Dude. Nobody's taking that hurricane seriously. Oh, no, guys. Look out. It's Hurricane Carl with a K.
Yeah, nobody's going to prepare.
Actually, you take Carl with a K very seriously.
That's true. Yeah.
Hurricane Matthew, there was Otto, Hurricane Richard. Just going to leave that one there. Hurricane Tobias and Hurricane Walter. Those were the 2016 dude hurricane names.
Wow. Okay.
Good old Hurricane Walter.
I guess I don't pay enough attention.
But according to facts and science, apparently we're just totally sexist, guys.
That makes sense.
People do not prepare, take the right precautions with a female hurricane name. Good old Hurricane Louise. She's just going to come get you.
I have an Aunt Louise.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
Does she have a giant Bible? I feel like Louise is just like, you've got the giant purse and the giant Bible.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
You're early every Sunday.
No, she used to have the wooden spoon in the living room. And when we get out of line, she'd point at the wooden spoon.
Yeah.
Good morning. Are you there? Hello. Okay, bye. Thank you.
To be fair, this studying comes from Live Science. They included hurricanes all the way back to 1979. because between 1953 and 1978, all hurricanes were given female names.
Oh.
You know, the scientist dudes were like, oh, what was that girl's name that stood me up last night? Barbara? Yeah, Hurricane Barbara. Am I right? Seriously, guys. And then in like 1979, they're like, guys, I think this is why we're not getting dates. We're naming all of the hurricanes after terrible dates. Gosh. No wonder Cindy never called me back. So in 1979, they started alternating dudes and ladies. That's so weird. They only counted retired hurricane names. So basically, those were the storms that the World Meteorological Organization deemed so disastrous that the names should never be used again.
Do you think it was a guy or a girl that complained about, you guys never call them guy names? Do you think that was a girl or a guy?
Must have been the one scientist who actually got married. It was like that, the one dude that actually like made it. And it was like, guys, my wife's noticing a trend. There are six lists of hurricane names with alternating male and female monikers. One year A was a male name, the next female, blah, 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 blah. So when the name becomes retired, it's replaced on the list with another name. So they compared the female and male names on the retired list. So there were 29 retired male named storms and only 22 female storms that were retired because they were so deadly. The number one retired male hurricane name. David.
Wow.
Frederick. Somebody took Hurricane Frederick very seriously. Alan. Gilbert. These are all retired names. Hurricane Hugo.
Hugo.
Klaus. Hurricane Bob. That's too bad that was retired. Huh. Maybe that's why it was so fatal. Like nobody took it seriously. That's amazing that people weren't taking it seriously because of the name. Andrew, Luis, Cesar, George, Mitch, Floyd, Kenny, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Number one, retired female hurricane names. Hurricane Alicia.
You stay away from girls named Alicia.
Okay.
Am I right?
Hurricane Elena, Gloria, Hurricane Joan. I had a boss named Joan. You didn't mess with Hurricane Joan. Diana.
Oh, Dirty Diana. Sorry. Michael Jackson song. Yeah. I was singing it earlier.
Thanks, bro.
Clear that one out.
Marilyn. Opal Roxanne. Hurricane Fran.
Fran.
There was a Hurricane Allison, Iris. Hurricane Michelle. That's funny. There's a dude hurricane named Mitch and a retired hurricane named Michelle as well. Double duty. Hurricane Rita. Anyways, so there you go. Allegedly, we don't take female hurricanes seriously. Super, super fatal.
Okay.
This year, there's a male hurricane named Hurricane Dawn. D-O-N.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Somebody said, wasn't Hurricane Andrew one of the most devastating? Yes. Retired. Hurricanes are named over time every year in alphabetical order. Did we see that? Yes, we noticed that. We did notice that. So, yeah, Hurricane Hugo, Hurricane Matthew, people were remembering some of them. Okay.
Good stuff.
All right.
Next.
There we go. Katrina chimed in and said, don't forget Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, yeah.
That must be hard for her. You're like, man, they named a hurricane after me.
It's a beautiful
name. Not after you specifically.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody said they didn't retire Katrina. I just need to go back and look now. But we'll move on.
Okay.
We'll move on. Hey, guys, you want to save the planet? When I was a kid, Captain Planet, it was a cartoon. It was all about making the environment better. The best thing you can do to save the planet? Don't have kids.
What?
It's a little late for us, bro.
Yeah, we both have three.
Wrecking the planet. Sure, you can drive an electric car, you can compost your garbage, you can install solar panels on your house, you can chain yourself to trees to keep them cutting down, but if you really want to save the environment, abstinence is the key. According to a new study out of Lund University in Sweden, the best thing you can do to save the planet, don't have kids. The researchers say it's because every new human being winds up adding 58.6 metric tons of carbon dioxide to the planet every year when you take into account the descendants as well.
Wow.
Quote, persuading an American family to have one less child will provide the same level of emissions reduction as persuading 684 teenagers to recycle comprehensively for the rest of their lives.
Wow. Yeah. Thank you.
That's from Sweden.
Thank you.
The study found that there are three other big things you can do to save the planet, although not having kids is way bigger than all of them combined. But maybe it's too late for you, bro. Maybe you're already ruining the environment with children. Number one. Get rid of your car.
Yeah, I need the car.
Never going to happen. Mazdarth is my favorite. You know,
maybe I don't need a car.
It's my boy, dog!
Actually, yeah.
Number two, become a vegetarian.
Yeah, I've been thinking more and more about becoming a vegan, not going to lie.
What?
I'm serious.
Why?
Because, man. Just because.
Dude, you once were a vegan, but now you must be gone. It was vegan.
There you go.
I just wanted to say vegan.
I would never see. I like
Scott Pilgrim versus.
I want half of my diet to be vegan and the other half to be just meat. I love meat. I can't give it up, man.
Okay. I'm like, that's not. I want to split it
up
though, for you.
But I want to split it up. Like,
you want to be a part-time vegan?
I want 50% of my diet to be vegan and the other 50 to be meat.
You idiot! That's like literally just that's what you do already.
Oh. Oh yeah. You know what's so funny about that? It's like, it's not what I've, that's not even close to even being my life at all for many years.
Yeah.
It's called fast food.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, like, I'm not even following.
You may be a vegan, considering the only meat you eat is like McDonald's, and I'm pretty sure that's just oatmeal.
Yeah. They make that in a lab. Yeah. They make that in a laboratory. Guys.
The third thing is using energy saving light bulbs, by the way.
I ate. It's been about a month and a couple weeks that I hadn't had fast food. And somebody went to the Golden Arches yesterday and got me a hamburger and had it in the refrigerator. And I woke up from a nap and I was starving. And guess what I ate? My throat was itching. I was like, oh my gosh, this is.
I can't back this up with science, but just a Starmy member who said, factoid, the production of the batteries used in the Prius pollutes more before it ever hits the road.
I've heard that.
Than an average automobile would in its entire life, which is why probably the study said just don't have a car altogether.
Yeah.
Somebody else said, Steve-O, I love your Three Little Pigs from Shrek impression, to which I say, never seen that actually. Is that weird?
From Shrek? You've never seen Shrek? Oh my gosh, my kids loved Shrek when they were little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It hit when I was like, I don't know. I was in this weird, like, if it's not Pixar, I don't care about it. And also, I don't have
Shrek
kids.
Shrek movies were great.
Really?
Yeah, they were really good. You should totally watch them.
I think my kids have watched them, and I'm like, okay. But it's just Mike Myers, to me, just sounds like his character from Austin Powers.
Yeah.
And that's all I can think of the whole time.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. Pass. Right. I'm sorry. Never watched it. You also know that Mike Myers wasn't originally supposed to be Shrek, right? You know who was originally Shrek?
Who?
Just going to go ahead.
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis?
Yeah, bro.
Think of comedy. Think of Shrek and his appearance. And think of one of the funniest human beings of all time.
Dana Carvey.
Okay. Come on, bro. I believe in you.
Chris Farley.
You just looked.
Chris Farley?
He was originally cast as the voice for Shrek. He actually recorded about 90% of the dialogue.
Oh, I think I remember seeing that in his documentary.
But after he died, before he could finish, Mike Myers was brought in to work for the character.
Oh.
Which, originally, Shrek did not have a Scottish accent. Chris Farley it was Chris Farley.
Yeah.
And then Mike Myers originally didn't, and then he changed it to this Scottish accent thing, and yeah.
What if they have that on YouTube? Maybe some
imagine. Chris. Imagine what Shrek could have been.
Okay, here we go. Let's see if we can find some of this audio.
Really?
Oh, yeah, Chris.
I'm like, do you really want to do that? No, let's wait. Let's
you wanna wait.
Yes, because I don't know that that's safe.
I know, right?
Somebody said to cut down emissions, everybody ride Harleys, bro. Might cut down food consumption, childbirth, and road rage.
Okay, I think this is it because people are commenting like Mike Myers is better. Let's see.
Man, it's nothing like a fire and a noble romantic mission to warm the cockles of
That's
your
Eddie
heart.
Murphy. He plays the donkey.
I like my cockles room temperature. Thank you very much.
Hey, if you're not doing this for cockle warming, why are you doing it?
Simple. Fartwad gets his princess. I get what I want.
That's weird.
That is weird.
Wow. Yeah, Mike Myers definitely better.
Well, okay, no. You say that because we've had like, what, 15 years of Shrek?
That's true.
To where that's all you know. Yeah. You can't say better. It's just different. That it is, would have been a completely different movie.
That's true.
It's Chris Farley, bro.
Time to set it to music.
Oh, this is another one of those onion things.
No, this is one of those drop it and leave me alone things.
Well, why don't you want to talk about it?
Why do you want to talk about it?
Why are you answering the question with a question?
Why are you asking questions I don't want to answer?
Why are you blocking?
I'm not blocking.
Then why do you have problems expressing your wants?
I don't. I want you to shut up.
I can't do it, man. That's
so weird.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we have to take a break.
Oh. Oh, we do. Oh, my gosh.
R.I.P. Chris Farley.
Yeah, no kidding. When we come back, we believe Shock Therapy Live is kicking off with Pastor Nate Heitzik. So if you guys have any questions, phone lines will be open here in just a few minutes, 338-3700 or studio at star88.fm. You can shoot those emails over to us or you can text them in 585-LIVE. We'll be right back.
The Morning Invasion brings you Shock Therapy Live, featuring Pastor Nate Heitzig. Call now, 338-3700, or email us at studio@star88.fm.
Oh, man, we're live with Pastor Nate Heitzig. It's Shock Therapy Live. Good morning, Starmy.
Dude.
I don't wanna.
It's a good day. We're it's talking about John Mayer, and I didn't even realize that the show was starting.
It's on, man. It's on.
What have you guys been talking about today? What's new in the world of radio?
Well, we just found out. Well, I don't think we just found out, but Chris Farley was originally the voice of Shrek.
Wow.
Yeah, you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Because no. Mike Myers,
I've
of course.
I've never seen Shrek, by the way. So
you've never seen Shrek?
I know. It's crazy to me.
And you have kids. That's strange.
I mean, they've seen it, I'm sure.
Yeah, here's because Chris Farley actually recorded 90% of the first Shrek, all the voice. And then he died. And they got Mike Myers.
No problem.
You're just displacing your anger.
Believe me, it's properly placed.
You're really mad at whoever did this to you.
No one did anything to me.
Yes, yes, yes. Someone hurt you so bad. Someone hurt you many years ago.
Leave my parents out of this.
Right through. Let's go with that. Let's explore,
I love Chris Farley, but I gotta say, I think I like Mike Myers better.
Yeah. The whole Scottish thing.
You guys
thing.
Know Mike Myers. Like 15 years of Mike Myers being
But
Shrek.
Mike Myers comes across as Shrek because he does like the Scottish accent. It's kind of like more ogre-y.
Yeah.
That just kind of sounds like fat slobby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is very ogre-y as well. What's up with you?
Dude, not much. Did you guys, I mean, I'm sure you guys already told the listeners about Star 88 being voted like top three for the...
Isn't that crazy?
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
That's really cool.
Out of thousands of stations around the country, we're in the top three.
It's going to be really cool when you guys get to accept the
award. Dude, it just shows you bribes work.
Okay, that is...
Bribes work. Okay. Well, couldn't be because of the amazing talent and... production.
No way.
You know that the only things that were submitted were imaging and this show?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was pretty stoked on that.
So you guys are in the top three.
I was really stoked on that. I was stoked on that simply because I didn't think, I was like, why are we even doing this? We're not even going to, there's going to be none recognition because it's so different than a lot of things in the Christian industry that I truly didn't believe that it would even be considered. And so that to me, even being one of the three finalists is such an honor.
Wow.
Like, it's crazy to me.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, man.
Woo! Yay!
Well, it's Shock Therapy Live. It's an hour where you guys get to call in 338-3700. Phone lines are open. We always prefer you to call us.
Yes.
We'll go with those first. So 338-3700.
By the way, Heartbreak Warfare. That's what I definitely
want
to hear. I was bummed they didn't play that.
It's a good song.
Such a great song.
Of all of his records, though, that record is my least favorite of all the records.
But Heartbreak Warfare is such a tremendous song.
Yeah.
I love it.
Pastor Nate, explain what Shock Therapy Live is all about.
Okay, so Shock Therapy Live is all about you. It's like the ultimate narcissist dream show because we really just want to talk about you. No, but seriously, we want to talk about what's going on in your life. It's not a theology show. There's a lot of those around the radio, around the country where you can call in and ask Bible questions. This is a life questions show. We want to hear about what's going on in your life. Maybe you're going through something and you want to know a biblical perspective on it.
Yeah.
We believe that we really believe that the Bible, biblical worldview carries answers to everything in life. But there's a lot of stuff we're scared to talk about in the church because of shame, because of stereotypes, because of just a concept that we're going to get shunned. And so we're here to talk about that stuff. Whatever's going on in your life, it's definitely a show for a little older audience. If you've got kids in the car and you don't want them to hear about things within the sexual realms, things within the drug realm, the music realm, then it might be best to do earmuffs or turn it down a little bit. It's fun. You know, we've seen God do some incredible things in people's lives through this show, starting back to when you and I started it, you know, many years ago, Steve-O. We've seen God do some pretty cool things through the show.
And dude, for real.
Every week it seems like we get, you know, we're getting more questions and more people wanting to be involved, and it's just fun.
I got to say, last week, man, you were amazing last week because
dude.
we had a listener call us, and she was on the verge of killing herself. Like, she was ready just end it.
That was gnarly, yeah.
She called in this week with an update, by the way.
She sounded great.
Awesome. Sounded great.
Good.
Yeah. So that was exciting to hear.
It's so much fun. It's just, it's what, you know, my favorite thing about this show, and that's why I wanted to start it back up again, is for me as a pastor, this show keeps me sharp. Because you always got to be on your toes. Like, we say we want live questions, and part of that is because we don't know what we're going to get.
Yeah, dude.
You know, we get a lot of email questions, and sometimes we'll hear them and I'll automatically hear it and I'll start thinking in my mind of the way to answer it. And to a certain extent, I feel like that's unfair. Like, I kind of like the idea of someone calling in and springing a question on you, and you're like, all right, let's dive into this. Yeah. I don't have any notes on this. I don't have any preparation for this, but it keeps you sharp.
Yeah.
And I think it's just a lot of fun.
338-3700, Shock Therapy Live. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good, good. Hey, I'm just going to ask my question real quick because I gotta get off the phone. But a buddy of mine is getting married next week. We were kind of having this discussion. And then my wife and I are also teaching at a marriage conference that we're having next month. And we were talking about the issue of wedding rings and mostly just men wearing wedding rings. I see a lot of even Christian men who don't wear wedding rings all the time. And not all the time, you know, but I do see a lot of Christian men who don't wear them. So what are your thoughts on it? Why, as a Christian man, you should wear a wedding ring, all that jazz. Just wanted your opinion on it.
You know what's amazing? I'm currently not sporting my ring.
That's hilarious.
You said that, and I looked down, I'm like, I'm not wearing my ring right now.
Dude, the thing is, for me, even when I'm not wearing my ring, I've got a wicked tan line, so you
can
tell I have a ring.
Right? Mm. Yeah. I mean, I do have a C tattooed on my ring finger with a heart.
But you also have tattoos on all your fingers, so that doesn't really help.
That's exactly true as well, yeah. All right, let's talk about this.
Yeah. So my thought just off the bat is it's a cultural representation of marriage, and that's where I think it's important. I do a lot of weddings, and I always talk about a wedding ring is a light signal. It's a traffic light. To your spouse, a wedding ring is a green light. It says go. Go for it. You're married. The marriage bed is undefiled. You guys, you know, you belong to one another. Go for it. Enjoy each other. Enjoy marriage. To the outside world, a wedding ring is a red light. That if my wife's walking through the grocery store and she, you know, bends over to pick up a box of cereal and some guy's checking her out and then she turns around and he sees that wedding ring. Now, he might be a dirtbag and say, I don't care what the wedding ring means or not. Mm. But in general, it means, oh, she belongs to someone. She's married. That's a red light. It means stop. It means that she is in a relationship. And so it's a cultural representation. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we have to have a wedding ring to be married. So there's no biblical significance to it, but it's cultural significance. And you can say, well, you know, my love's the same. Okay, but if someone outside doesn't see a wedding ring on your finger, just culturally, they don't know or believe that you're married because it's a cultural significance. So that's what I would say off the bat, is it carries more cultural weight than it does biblical weight. And for me, I do it because when I see my wife and she's wearing her wedding ring, I look at him like, that's right. That's a green light for me. That's a go. That's my wife. Like we belong to each other. And I know a lot of pastors want to put all this, you know, a wedding ring is circular and it signifies a turn. It's just, okay, you know what? No. For me, it's a green light and a red light is really what it comes down to.
Yeah. I like that.
And it's true, because I do think sometimes we place such a – not that it's necessarily a bad thing, because I know people like my wife's grandparents, he never – and like the I don't want to get it wrong, but I believe it was 67 years they were married. He never took his ring off. And when he was getting close to the end, he had to for a CAT scan or something. They had to take off all the metals, and they literally like put their ring fingers – tips together and slid it over to her finger. You know what I mean? Like they never took it off, and it symbolized something so great. And here I am, you know, staring at my finger that doesn't have one. And there's no deep like meaning behind it other than like, I was at the CrossFit gym and the bar snapped, like seriously cracked my ring.
Yeah.
And I haven't gotten it fixed.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of my thought within that idea. I think if you're married, I think it's good. Like for me, it would just feel like so the postmodern hipster thing, like, well, we don't need wedding rings. Like, well, why? Just because you want to be rebellious and be like cool and be hip? Like, why don't you want to wear wedding rings? It seems kind of silly to me to have an argument against wedding rings.
Yeah. Now, I do know that there are certain circumstances and situations, because people have chimed in before, because I think we've actually talked about this before, the discussion on wedding rings. And I know for my dad, he was a mechanic and a pilot, and he got his hand trapped in an engine once on an airplane, and it almost cost him his hand.
Wow. That happens a lot.
Yeah, and so
Callow, man, get a Callow ring.
So this was like in the '80s.
Yeah, but we're not in the '80s anymore,
right? So like at the time, it was like nope. And so after that, he took it off, and I actually still have that wedding ring.
Wow.
But so I know that there are like circumstances.
My first wedding ring was a tungsten carbide ring, and my finger was allergic to the metal.
Oh, wow.
And so my finger would get really itchy and get red bumps underneath the ring.
Really?
And it itched like crazy. So I still have my wedding ring from my wedding day, but then we just got like it's a Costco stainless steel ring that I wear most of the time. But then I got one of those Callow rings. They're so cool, the rubber rings.
Yeah.
My cat ate it, so I don't have it anymore.
Shut up. I was literally about to say, I do like that you have like multiple rings. You're like, I'm doing these different, but they're like that band that symbolizes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, same thing, you got a tattoo. I really want to get a tattoo. I want to get a skull tattooed on the tip of my finger with the words "till death" around it.
Yeah.
Because you have a tattoo till you die. Right. And if you're in a biblical marriage, you're going to be married till the day you die too. So it's like, I really like that concept.
Or at least until they die.
Well, either way, it's still death.
Yeah, it's true. All right, 338-3700. We have somebody waiting patiently on the phone. Good morning.
Yes, hi, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Go ahead.
I guess my question, I really enjoy your show. My question ties into the previous question regarding a wedding ring. About 2010, today, right now, we've been married 28 years.
Wow.
2010, the wife decided that she wasn't going to wear the wedding ring anymore. Basically, stopped using the wedding ring and said it was just a piece of metal. It didn't signify or mean nothing. I didn't like that. I saw that as a red flag. How do you compromise with, you know, one you love, that it's not okay to wear a wedding ring? She thinks it's okay to not wear it. I believe it's kind of like Pastor was just saying. It's red flag or green flag.
Yeah,
How do you get this to a woman's head? She feels it.
Well, it's not just
no
to a woman's
ring.
Head. Let's be fair here,
right?
Because men can be pretty dang stubborn too. So what I would say within this is the reason we wear a wedding ring isn't for ourselves; it's for our spouse. Again, it's a red light and a green light. So for my wife, it's a green light. For my wife, it's a red light to other people. So I wear my ring in honor and respect of her, and vice versa. I don't wear my ring because I'm like, man, I really love this piece of jewelry. It looks so cool. I want to show it off and be like, hey, check out this bling. You know, I wear it for my wife. And so within marriage, there's always compromises. The reason I don't walk out of the house and wear a Speedo is in reverence to my wife, because, you know, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do that because you don't want me to. Not that I would, even if we weren't married, but, you know, life's a series of compromises. The reason, you know, my wife doesn't wear, you know, super low cut shirts is because she wants to honor me as her husband, and she doesn't want to stumble people, and cause me, to doubt her. So what I would say within this is compromises, and what you should let your wife know is, look, you're not wearing it for you. You're wearing it for me, and it's important to me. So if you love me, even though it might not mean anything to you, it means something to me, and it's a symbol of love, and it's a symbol of respect and honor to me. So if you love me, wear it for me. You don't have to like it. You don't have to, you know, feel that it means something super incredible, but it does to me. So in honor and reverence to that, do it for that reason.
I'd be curious to know what was her reasoning behind wanting to take it off? Because I know as we talk about compromise, you know, goes both ways, this two-way street, because it seems pretty – I mean, you're pretty adamant that, like, she has to wear this ring. So what was her reason behind why?
Well, at first, we had three kids, and the reason I got is women retain water, so the ring was tight. So I took it to a jeweler and enlarged it.
Oh, okay.
And then a year later, it's like, why are you not wearing a ring again? Well – you know, yellow gold is out, white gold is in. If you love me, I get a white ring, you know, white gold. So I got it redone. I got it resized. I got it redone. I put a rock on it. Went by, a year goes by, she doesn't wear it. To me, it's kind of like what Pastor was saying. I almost got touched in the same basis where you're not doing it for you. I mean, I wear my ring, but I'm wearing this ring for you.
Yeah.
It's like, truth is, guys, it's a red flag, and just it's not right, because here we are 28 years later. What just happened is July 1st, she decided she was going to move out. She wants a separation. And the last bit of my question here is, how do you know when your marriage is over?
Oh, man.
And it's been 7 years that it's been a fight. I feel like I've been standing there holding the flag alone, and I've been seeing the desire in her heart to just, you know, move on with her life, but she's never done it, and here she goes, July 1st, she's done it. She's separated. She's living in an apartment by herself. I mean, this implicates so much more now. It's like spousal abandonment, home abandonment, children abandonment. Not wearing the ring to me was a red flag. I felt like I was right about that. But the end of my question is, how do you know if your marriage to have a shot? She's completely just ignoring her husband. And it's like if I'm the invisible man, you know, right now. But I feel like she's in a deep depression herself. She doesn't look good at all to me. This separation, to me, is just the, you know, waiting room for divorce. I'm still holding the flag, though. I still believe it's not over yet.
So I'm going to answer your question in two ways. First, I want to just give you a little hope. You know your marriage is over when both parties give up. That's when you know it's over.
Mm.
Right now, she's in a place where she's given up and she's moved out, but you're still holding up the flag and fighting. Mm-hmm. As long as you do that, there's still hope. It doesn't mean that necessarily things are going to get better right away, that things are going to change. But in answer to your question, as long as you keep fighting, there's hope. Once you give up, then once both parties get into a place of complacency, that's when there's no glimmer of hope anymore. Now, to go a little deeper, what you need to get to with any situation like this, you need to get to the core of why she has come into this place of losing hope. Is there another relationship? Is there a chemical dependency? Is there a struggle with depression? Is there a distrust of you? Is there something that you've done in the relationship you don't realize that she Maybe every time you guys talk, you guys get in a fight, and she's just so sick of fighting. She's so sick of living in a house and having to pretend to be happy and pretend to be content, where she's really struggling with contentment. There's a million different things that could be at the root and the cause of this issue. And what has to happen is you've got to get down to what that is. Now, obviously she's in a place where she doesn't want to be around you in that home. So it's not something that you can try to get down to that yourself at this point. Now, perhaps 10 years ago when this first started happening, that could have been possible. But now at this point, it's not something that you can do on your own. It's got to be something that she's put in a safe place where she feels that she can communicate exactly what's going on and why she's put in this place, and feel that there's no possibility of repercussion if she voices how she really feels. The only way that can happen is with a neutral party like a counselor. Either a Christian biblical counselor, a pastor at a church, a nouthetic counselor, which is a counselor that works through the Bible and is a professional licensed counselor but works through the scripture. You've got to find somebody like that that can be a neutral party and sit down and listen to you both and hear what's going on and try to get down to the root of the issue. Because what's going to happen, I'm just going to warn you, probably the first couple of counseling sessions, you're going to hit surface issues. Well, they do this. Well, they do this. And it's going to kind of be a thing back and forth. Well, they did this. It's not going to be quick, but eventually you're going to get down to the core root issue that is at hand. And that's what's got to be dealt with. That's what's got to be worked through. And until that's worked through, she's not going to come to that place where she wants to fight for the marriage again. When she feels like
we have marriage counseling in April and May, and it turns out after the third session with our marriage counselor, she decided she wanted also a counselor for herself alone, which now we have two counselors, April and May, which we sat together with one counselor, and then another time of the week she would sit by herself with her own counselor. And that kind of, like, I never understood what it was, but I felt like there's some things in her past, perhaps that, I mean, 20 years, a long time, but childhood pain. And, well, speaking to my counselor, the counselor admitted that she's found out that there is some childhood issues that she's dealing with, and she's dealt with depression before.
Yeah. And what I would say to that as well, it's pretty common when you get into the counseling realm for one or both of the spouses to decide they want to meet separately in separate counseling as well. And here's why. The reason she's probably doing that is because whatever pain she's experiencing, whatever issues she's experiencing, she feels like it's not validated with you in the room. And as a non-partial bystander, to a certain extent, I haven't talked to you for very long, but to a certain extent, I could understand why you started this conversation with how do you get a woman to listen?
Yeah.
I mean, saying things like that, really small things that don't seem like they mean a whole lot, go really, really, really far when you're talking to a woman, when you're talking to your wife, when you're talking to somebody who simply wants to be heard and validated. And if she's put in a place in those counseling realms where she feels like every single time she brings something up, an issue, that you have a rebuttal, you have an answer, that you want to usurp the conversation, she's feeling like she can't be heard when she's around you. She's feeling like the pain she's experienced, she can't communicate to you. Because as men, we want to fix problems sometimes. We don't want to listen to them. So she might have in the past, maybe earlier on in your marriage, tried to share some of the things that she's going through, and you just want to fix it. You want to put a Band-Aid on it. You want to make it go away, when that's not what she wants. She wants you to listen. She wants you to hear. And she's put it at a place where she doesn't feel like you're a safe person for her to communicate her pain and what's going on in her life. And so you've got to spend some serious, serious time rebuilding that trust, because that's what happens in a marriage when that trust breaks down. And it can be for something as small as I don't feel listened to, validated, heard, or cared for. We get to a place where we feel like we're living with a roommate rather than a spouse. And what happens is when we have that loss of trust and love, when we get in a fight, it's like getting in a fight with a roommate. You know, you get in a fight with a roommate enough times, you're like, okay, I'm going to move out. I don't want to live with you anymore.
Right.
Because there's nothing bonding that marriage together in love. Mm. And so when the trust and love's been torn down, fights happen. You don't have the drive to keep pushing it anymore.
Yeah.
So I get that she probably wants to see that separate counselor. And I would say as well, if you guys have a heart to continue seeing a counselor as well, that's hope as well. And that's some hope at the end of the tunnel.
A counselor explained that it first 5, 6, 7 sessions are the worst one because they're unearthing a lot of stuff that is buried in the back of the mind. And it only lasted April and May. She decided she didn't need to go to counsel anymore. And I found out a few things that happened in her childhood. And it's like you said, I'm a fixer, but I can't fix none of that stuff. Just through the Holy Spirit. God is the only one. I mean, and when I ask, when do you know if the marriage is over? I feel like this all happened in 2010. In 2017, 7 years later, it just got worse now. I mean, it's so easy to just give up and say, well, I tried. I can't do this anymore. But the pain inside is just, sometimes it's just too deep to just, it feels like no matter how I try to hold this flag, it just keeps falling. Mm. You know, and I'm just about to give up.
Well, you need support to hold that flag. When Moses, there's a great story in the Bible when he was told that he had to keep his arms up to win this battle. It was something he couldn't do on his own. He had to bring a couple guys alongside him who could hold his arms up for him. And so, I think that one of the important things is when we're working through counseling, we're working through something like this, is to make sure that one of the places that it's rooted is in a place where you're connected and you have community. So I think it's important to get counseling at your church. I think that can be really helpful because then what can happen is those pastors who are working with you through those issues can hold your hand up for you and you have that support. It's not just to counsel your pain to come see. And they're like, I've got a million other people to talk to. You paid me. All right. Bye bye. See you later. I think it's important to get strong biblical counseling if you can root it in your church, because then what you get along with that is you get the support of them walking through that situation with you, and whether the marriage continues or whether the marriage ends, they're still there to support you and to encourage you and to help you. So I think that's really important, is to do that.
It's amazing how when you started this show, you made a comment about what this, you know, show is all about, and it's some things that people feel uncomfortable to talking about it at church for one reason or another. I mean, I'm all about to go sit with my pastor and, you know, see a pastor and just be mentored by him. She won't do that. But it's kind of like, it's because of that scenario where, you know, you know so many people at church and it's, we've been together all 28 years. That's a long time. I've been in the same church since 98. It's almost like my hands are tied. If I want to go speak with my pastor, she says, if you do really love me, leave me out of it. This is between me and you. Why involve the pastor? But then again, Sunday morning shows up, or Saturday night, or any other time of the week that there's an event at church, we show up, and I mean, we're now riding in separate cars. To me, it's like,
yeah,
what's going on here? I mean, and it's almost like you feel invisible. You're in a room with a lot of people, but only God knows what's going on in your life, and you want to. It's like you want to scream for help, but nobody's listening. Or if you try, you're told, don't do it. You know, let's deal with this on our own. And I feel like that's the wrong answer. I need to sit with somebody and talk about this with my main pastor.
You do. And, and you know, maybe it's a thing, too, where maybe she does feel that shame of going to that place. And so in order to bridge that gap, you might need to seek for a time counseling from another church that she doesn't go to. I know here at Calvary, a lot of times we'll get people from other churches who want to come for counseling. And there is that idea that I don't want my dirty laundry aired out before an entire church. And especially if you go to a small church, that's the case.
Yeah.
In small churches, if one person knows, everybody knows. And then every time you come to church, everyone's looking at you like, oh my gosh, did you see? Mm-hmm. And that can very much be a fear that she could have.
Or you know, it could be a conviction that she just doesn't want whatever it is that's going on out.
Totally. 100%. But it might be worth extending an olive branch and saying, hey, you know, I called in to the show. I got some good advice. Would you be willing to go? I know Calvary offers free counseling. We've got a huge pastoral staff. And, you know, maybe saying, hey, can we go in for counseling? You know, it's somebody who doesn't know us. They don't know who you are. They don't know who I am.
Right.
They're just going to give us good, solid biblical advice. I think that could be really important as well.
Okay.
Man, I am so sorry for what you're going through. Do either of you guys have any advice for him?
No, dude. I mean, you have literally covered the entire gamut. I absolutely believe that. The one thing I would say is, as you are sitting here, because I understand the idea of wanting to save this relationship, fighting for it. If you have such a strong conviction about wanting to talk specifically to your pastor, I know she's uncomfortable with that notion, but she wasn't so uncomfortable that she wasn't willing to move out and make some really drastic steps for herself, if you will.
That's right.
And so you, if you have that solid conviction, like, no, dude, I'm dying. This is overwhelming. I just want to talk to my pastor. I would fight for that, right, man? Because she's obviously taking steps to take care of herself. You do, as much as you want to take care of this relationship and do all the right things. No, at the end of the day, no matter all the right things that you do, there could very well be some things going on you don't know about, or she just wants out and she could be gone. And if you haven't at least started to talk to your pastor or gotten your mind clear, you know, it's going to be that much worse for you. So I would encourage you that if you have that deep of a conviction that, no, I really need to talk to my pastor, then I would take that step. Because she's taken separate cars, she's moved out. Like,
I was hoping that this wouldn't push her away even further.
Oh, I know what that feels like.
And again, I would say we have to be careful, because I think a lot of times we talk to anybody too, we assume they're in a really, really good biblical church. There's a lot of churches that are very patriarchal.
Yeah.
That it doesn't matter what the guy's done. The answer from a lot of pastors is, as a wife, you have to submit, and there's very little grace for women.
You're right. I agree with that.
And so I think you got to look at what denomination you've grown up in and what church you're going to, and you don't want to put your wife in a place where you're going to put her in the same way that she feels with you, that she has no voice with you. You don't want to put her in a place where she feels like she has no voice with her pastor or with her church, that when she tries to share her side of the story, they're going to say, well, that doesn't matter, that's wrong. You want to make sure that, so there is that mentality, you could put her further in a place where she's feeling like she's continued in it. Now,
that's
again,
why
I'm not
so
sure.
Touchy, right?
I'm not
that's
sure.
Every situation is different.
Yeah.
But that's why I definitely wanted to reiterate, like, over and over and over, like, if this is truly.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Because it sure sounds like she's taken necessary steps to do what's best for her, quote unquote. And it sounds like you are holding up this flag and trying and. Man,
good on you for not giving up, man.
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely.
I think that's an incredible, incredible thing, an incredible feat to be able to 7 years, man.
Just, yeah, seven years of fighting. Yeah, fighting for it. So don't give up, man. Do not give up.
And it's very difficult when you have real dear close friends that say, you know, what are you doing? It's like you're in this alone. Just give up. You know,
yeah, it's easy for them to say.
Sounds like Job friends.
Yeah,
Job's friends.
Yep,
for real.
Mm-hmm.
So,
thank you, man.
Dude, hang in there, God best for you, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for calling in.
All right, man. It's Shock Therapy Live.
Remember when the show was just us acting like idiots and being funny, like the first couple weeks, and then all of a sudden it seems like every week it's just like the realness.
Dude, we had a person on hold too who apparently was like, so we've already gotten like 3 calls in this show.
Right?
Yeah.
We got a lot of people chiming in, talking about the situation, but also some quick questions. You guys want to do like a rapid fire if possible to get through a couple of these, because like the backlog is getting crazy.
All right.
Okay. Going.
They better be easy questions if we're going to do rapid fire.
Ugh. Okay. Man.
That means they're not.
Okay. Right. Well, I don't know. There's just so many things coming in on the live line. It's like, okay, I got to get through a couple
of any questions about Legos or John Mayer?
Nate, I'm at an all-time low. I've been dealing with anxiety and depression for the last 3 years. I was recently let go from my job. I've been looking and no luck. I feel like as soon as I get things good, I get hit and take 5 steps backwards. I just feel like I can't win. I don't know what to do anymore. I owe so much money to a lot of people. I'm doing my best to pay everyone back. I pray and ask God to guide me. I read the Bible, ask God for strength, but it feels hopeless. I don't want to disappoint my fiance anymore. Please help with some advice. Just quick, man, rapid fire.
Yeah,
come on.
How do you do that,
Steve-o? We got any openings here at Calvary? Come on, let's do this. Get him a job. I didn't pre-read it. I was like neck deep in that last one. Then you're like, hey, you got
but
any advice?
It also feels like you were looking through the thing and you picked the longest question. Like, hey, this one looks really long. Let's answer this one.
Yeah, do that one that I pointed at.
Do that one that looks like a couple paragraphs. Gosh. That looks fantastic.
Well, I mean, it's always most difficult in the beginning, right? Because it always does seem when you're going through something, those first couple steps, you take one step and then it's like impossible and five steps backwards, but you have to keep going.
Yeah, I don't know. So here's a couple thoughts I have. I think a lot of times Christians have a hard time marrying the supernatural and the natural.
Mm.
What God's will is for your life versus what God's will is for your life.
Right.
Like God's will for your life is to provide for your family. So sometimes you just got to get a job, and it doesn't matter if it sucks or not. You got to get a job because you got to pay the bills.
Yeah.
And then you're stuck a lot of times. This is really a millennial problem. You're in a job and it's paying your bills, but you're like, is this my purpose? Is this God's will for my life? Well, before God's will for your life might be for you to go on and do something great, God's will for your life is to care for your family. And so sometimes we're put in a place where we're like, we leave God's will for taking care of our family in the search of what we're called to do.
Mm.
And so I think sometimes we have a hard time as Christians balancing, playing this balancing act. I was at a conference some time ago and they were talking about this change from the baby boomers and the great generation to the millennials and Gen X and all this stuff. But they were talking about the baby boomers. They lived through the Great Depression, a lot of these people, the greatest generation. And so what happened is in going through the Great Depression, what their calling was to take care of their families. That was what their identity was found. It was in their families.
Mm.
And so they would get a job sweeping streets and they would do that for 25 years, hating every day of it. But their identity was found in their family, not in their job.
Yeah.
And then what happened is over time, as a culture, when marriage started to break down and the divorce rate started to go up, what happened is you had kids who grew up in single parent homes and their identity wasn't found in their family because their family life sucked.
Right.
And so they started searching for their identity in something else. And unfortunately, at the same time, a faith in Christ was diminishing. So they couldn't find their identity in Christ or in the church. And so they started searching for their identity in their job. And so that's why right now, you have college students who will change majors six times because they're trying to find what they're called to, what yeah. their identity is, because their identity isn't found in what their identity should be found in. Their identity is trying to be found in something else. So I'm trying to answer in a roundabout way, a very vague question, I feel.
It is very, very vague. I'm depressed. Help me.
Yeah. And I think that depression can come when your identity is not properly formed or found in Christ, because you can be performing a job and trying to pay back bills and trying to pay money and be like, man, I hate this job. And you're lamenting the situation you're in, because your identity is tied up in that job or the job you want rather than in Christ. So I think your identity has got to be firmly found within Christ and in a proper place.
Yeah.
And when that happens, you're willing to go through and put up with a lot because you realize that your identity isn't found in your job. It's not found in what you do. It's found in who you are. And you're a child of God. You're a child of the Most High King. You belong to Him. You were bought with a price. You're royalty, so you should live like royalty. And so when you have this mentality that your identity is found in the person of Christ, it puts a different perspective. And you see this with Paul. Man, Paul went through a lot and Paul fought hard battles and Paul worked really, really hard and he hit roadblock after roadblock after roadblock after roadblock trying to go into cities and preach the gospel. But he continued to persevere because his identity was found in Christ, not in the situations he was going through. Job's the same way. Gosh, roadblock after roadblock after roadblock, but his identity was found in God, not in what was happening to him. And so we have to have a firm place for our identity, and I believe that is what can help with that despondency and depression. But as far as how do you provide for your family, I firmly, again, live by this principle we've talked about on the show numerous times, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then do what you want. I think we've got to be ready to just walk through open doors, and sometimes the open door might not look like the place we want to be in, but we walk through it because God opened that door, and we see where it leads. And it might lead to where you want to go ultimately, or it might just lead to you being able to provide for your family. But I think you got to take a job. Look, you might have to work at Chick-fil-A for a while, but if God opens a door and you can get a job at Chick-fil-A, work at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
That job at Chick-fil-A might lead you to meet some guy who owns a business who really likes how positive and happy you are.
Amen.
And he sees you and says, man, you've got a great attitude. I've got a job opening at this place. Will you come work for me? But what's going to happen is if you sink into this despondency of not finding your will in Christ, you might miss that opportunity because you're lamenting the opportunity that God has given you. But God's never going to give you the next opportunity until you're faithful in the opportunity he's given you right now.
Live with purpose wherever you are at and serve. Yeah. I know this is going to sound really weird, but go back to our podcast and listen to our interview with Steve Guttenberg. Steve Guttenberg, for those that weren't childs of the 80s, was like this leading man. He was in Short Circuit and Police Academy and all of these really rad 80s movies, 3 Men and a Baby. But the very first agent he had told him he didn't have the look. He had a terrible name. He needed to change it. He would never be a leading man. If anything, he'd be like the funny sidekick type thing. And closed door, closed door, closed door. And he said his purpose was to serve others. Like we are called by Christ to serve others. So he just started serving people around him and just being joyous with whatever was given. Yeah. And God was opening. He just started opening these doors because people respond well to that. And I loved that. I thought it was so great.
It's so funny. We have this issue in America of God's giving you a platform. You don't realize that you have a platform right now. And we're stuck in this situation. It's like maybe you're a soccer mom at your home. You're like, Lord, just give me a platform. Give me a soul to reach. And then your kid cries in the background, shut up, Billy. Mom's trying to pray.
Right.
And God's giving you a platform.
Yep.
And if you're neglecting the platform to speak into your kid's life and to speak into that opportunity, you think God's going to give you a bigger platform if you're neglecting and you're not being faithful to the one he's already given you? So I think wherever you're at, man, whatever situation you're in, be faithful to that.
Yeah.
Find the purpose through the pain. Be faithful to the place that God's put you. And you might find that as you're faithful to that, God's going to present that new opportunity. But I guarantee you that if you're not faithful in the opportunity God's giving you right now, he's not going to give you a greater opportunity.
Yeah.
Be faithful to where God's put you and he'll elevate you. Let God elevate you. Don't try to do it yourself. He'll do it for you as long as you're faithful to where he's put you.
Member of the Starmie chimed in and said, coming from a dude who has 3 part-time jobs, including driving Uber 25 hours a week to make ends meet. Sometimes you just got to pay the bills and support the family.
That's right.
I have 4 children that are young. I don't have time or the option to wait for some career job that's perfect to come along. I have to do what it takes to provide for my family, and there's purpose in that that's bigger than what I want. I grew up with a dad who, when we didn't have lots of money, he went and got a job trimming bushes for landscaping. When he was a pastor, he did both.
That's right.
You got to do what you got to do, and God will honor that.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
That's good.
Moving on.
Do that Facebook question.
We got a couple. So
hey,
thanks
for that super quick question, Steve. That took 15 minutes.
Fine,
lightning
fine.
Round, right?
Lightning round. Patrice. Sometimes I feel like I'm just exhausted from the pressures of being a responsible adult / Christian.
Is
like
this the same question?
No. Like I can't just go out and have a nice dinner and a drink with my husband on a special occasion because someone might be watching and I'm going to stumble everyone. Just the constant thinking about what every action I do, how it affects others, makes me just stay at home. I've also heard pastors become closet drunks or smokers and so on because they just can't do anything in public. Help.
Wow.
Well, I would wonder what position she's in that she feels like she's put in that place. If she's a pastor's wife or she's a pastor, then I could get it. But if she's not a pastor or a pastor's wife, there's no law that says she can't go out with her husband and have a drink. There's no law that says she can't. Even if she's a pastor, the view that we have in this, we believe is a biblical view, but also it's relegated to Calvary and to a few denominations that feel this way, that we need to really be mindful of that. There's some denominations that I don't think it's good, but they don't care. They're like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to have 5 beers with my bros and I'm a pastor and I don't care what people think.
Right.
I don't think that's good. I think it's really bad. And the denominations and churches that I've seen have that. Most of them have fallen and most of them aren't existing anymore. But It's not necessarily something that it's like, oh, this is universally how all Christians believe.
Right.
But if you're not in ministry, I don't believe you're put in a place where you can't do that with your husband. We've got a lot of friends here at Calvary who aren't pastors, who aren't in ministry, and they have no issue going out.
Yeah.
And I have no issue going out with them and they having a beer and I'm at the table with them. I have no issue with that.
Yeah.
Because they're not held to the same standards that I am. Now, if you're a pastor, your husband's a pastor, you got to realize you signed up for this.
Yep.
When I first asked Janae to start dating me, I said, I said, hey, I want to ask to date you with the pursuit of marriage. And I said, but before you say anything, I'm called to be a pastor. And if you say yes, that means that you've got to find a calling to be a pastor's wife. Because just as much as there's a calling to be a pastor, there is a calling to be a pastor's wife. Mm. And I think it's unfair to a lot of husbands put their wives in that situation before ever asking them, hey, do you feel called to be a pastor's wife? Because, hey, husbands, if you feel called to be a pastor, but your wife's not called to be a pastor's wife, I got news for you. You're not called to be a pastor. Because it's a mutual calling. And if your wife isn't called in that ministry, you're going to do worse going into it if she's not called into it than not going into it at all. Because you're going to put yourself at odds with your wife, at odds with your family, and put yourself in a position where you've got to choose between God or her. And I got to let you know right now, God wants you to choose her over going into ministry. And you might, this is my purpose. No, your purpose is to love your wife and your family.
Dude,
so if your wife's not called into ministry, don't do it, because God's called you to love your wife before he's called you to go teach people the Bible. So it's got to be a mutual calling. But if you're in it now, you're in it, you don't have that option. Like, yeah, that would have been great if 10 years ago I would have really decided if I was called to be a pastor's wife. Now you're in it.
Yeah.
So now you got to live it. Now you're at a greater calling. Now you're in a position where you've got to realize that. And you've signed up for this, and you've got to come to terms and come to a place where you can accept that if you're a pastor. So that's what I would say. Maybe you say, well, I'm not a pastor, but I serve in ministry. I serve in kids ministry, and a policy that our church has is servants aren't allowed to go out and have alcohol. Again, you signed up for that. Inevitably, if that's the case, you filled out an application that you agreed to that. And you said, okay, yes, I agree to that. Your options are either A, to stop serving, or B, to find a different church that will let you serve and drink in public. Really, those are the two options. But again, if you're in that situation, you signed up for that. You signed an application stating the rules, understanding what it was. So I think you got to come to terms with some of those things.
There we go.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, that was good.
338-3700.
I'm trying to keep it lightning round, hey. So I'm like, hey, that's good. I don't want to chime in because
Yeah, we got about 8 minutes left.
Well, you drink a lot in public, Steve-O,
right.
So I mean.
And I'm an odd pastor, so I can. What? I'm just kidding. So I do think there's this liberty, this freedom that, like, when you realize that not everybody's constantly staring at you all the time, because for some reason, maybe it's just our age group in the church, there was that. You know, Romans, you don't eat meat, you don't these things. If you're weaker, you know, Christian brother can't, then you don't ever want to cause them to stumble. Then it was like, okay, well, I can't go to this establishment. I can't ever be here. I can't do this. I can't act like that. I can't wear this t-shirt.
It's hard because then you have the Christian brother, you have the weaker Christian brother glass on. You're like, are you a weaker Christian brother?
Dude, right?
Oh, you're a Christian. Are you a weak Christian?
I'm not
kidding. Are you a strong Christian?
I have friends that, like, at times couldn't wear certain t-shirts because it was like, well, I don't know if I mean, this is one of my favorite bands, but I don't want to wear this shirt because I don't want people to think it's okay to listen to, you know, Iron Maiden. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you are overthinking everything.
It's so funny too, because what happens with that is we're scared of being judged, but by doing it, we put ourselves in a place where we're judging other people because we're constantly wondering, oh, are you weak or are you strong?
Yeah, it's like,
and
don't
we're constantly put in a place where we're judging all the Christians around us, wondering if they can handle us.
I'm just waiting for the testimony someday of the person that was like, well, I was a... I don't mean to mock, but seriously, this is kind of what it feels like. I was at a low place, and I walked into a bar, and I saw a friend of mine who was a Christian that had a beer in his hand, and I went home, and that began my journey into alcoholism. It was like, what? I've never heard that story. I'm serious.
Yeah.
But, like, there's this weird pressure of, it's like, you can never, ever, 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 ever do this, because that's the moment, the one guy who deals with this in such a regard. Because it's like, okay,
I think,
well,
it puts
women,
a little too much weight on us and
right,
takes away a little bit of the sovereignty of God.
Amen. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because on the flip side, then for a lot of dudes, then all women should just from, like, head to toe be completely covered, because
there is a place that they do that. It's called Afghanistan.
Right?
You can go there.
I just think of Matthew 5:28.
If you drink alcohol, they'll shoot you.
If you look at a woman with lust in your heart, it's like, dudes will have an excuse. There's some freaky people out there. It's like, oh man, I saw those toes. And, like, seriously, man, you can't control crazy people. But so we put these, like, crazy.
We live in a depraved world. You can walk down the street with your dog and someone's like, that's a good looking dog.
Okay. But seriously, hopefully that helps you a little bit, because, yeah, I think we put so much pressure on ourselves. So much pressure on ourselves. Moving on. Seth, chimed in and says, I got no time to call
him. He's only 7 years old. Okay. He can't text him.
Oh, yeah. Yes. This was from, I want you to picture this from the perspective of your child chiming in.
Oh, no.
excuse me, father, I have a question.
You sound like Jimmy Fallon.
How can we expect to live in a country founded upon freedom of choice yet forbid homosexual marriage? In other words, does living in a free country condone, dare I say, promote sin?
Huh.
Now talk to him like you would at the dinner table. I'm just kidding.
Well, Seth.
Good question, Seth.
That's a question you should ask your grandpa.
Let's get grandpa on FaceTime right now.
Amazing. That is an interesting question.
Anytime there's a hard question, I deflect it to my
deflect
dad.
Deflect it to your dad?
Seth, that's a really question. Good question. Hold on, next time you see grandpa, you should ask him.
Yeah.
Not even call him, because that means I got to deal with it right then and there.
Oh, man.
Just next time you see
just
him, talk to him.
Next time you see Gramps.
Yeah,
how can we expect to live in a country founded upon freedom of choice, yet forbid homosexual marriage? In other words, does living in a free country condone or promote sin?
Yeah. Living in a free country.
Living promotes sin. Yeah. Think of the Romans, man. You know what I mean? That wasn't a free country. They were under the emperor and a man. Think of the lifestyles back
then. I think two things. I think that yes, living in a free country realizes that people have the free choice to sin. But again, to what Steve-O just said, being a human realizes that God, when we ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, we got the free choice to sin.
Yeah.
And we're in a depraved culture. So I think, yes, that it does mean that. Does it mean that we as Christians should stop fighting against it? No, because we as Christians are always supposed to fight for what is right and for what is righteous and for what is good.
Yeah.
And if I really believe the only thing holding the culture away from falling into complete depravity is the Christian believer who's there fighting for what is right. I think we are – the Bible says that we're the salt and the light of the world, which means that we as the salt are the preserving influence on the decay of the world. And you see this in places like Sodom and Gomorrah when there were no believers except for Lot. And Lot found complacency and wasn't standing for what is right. The culture just slipped into complete depravity because there was no preserving influence in the culture, which is why we see scripturally in Revelation when the church gets raptured, the world falls into utter and complete depravity, way worse than it is now because the Christians aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
And so I think our role as believers is to fight for what is right. And one of the ways to do that is through litigation, is through, the people that are in office. I don't think we should just come and say, well, you know, the world's our sinner, so let's just get Obama number two in there.
Okay.
So I think that we need to, as Christians, fight for the laws and that we believe will uphold righteousness as much as possible, but realize that that's not the main way in which God planned for the world to come to revival. The way that God planned to change the world and bring change was through the preaching of the gospel, through the saints and through those who have been saved according to the grace of Christ. That's what he's chosen to use to bring the world into sanctification and to change the world, not presidents, not policies.
I agree with that because it's twofold. I mean, you think about we just had our good friend Jeff Gilbert on from Save the Storks, and their ministry isn't going out and trying to legislate against abortion. They truly just have these buses and they go to these clinics and they provide ultrasounds and they provide free prenatal care and post, like, it's phenomenal, and it's still a choice. They still have a choice. When they walk out of that bus, they can still say, you know what, that's okay. I saw the baby. I'm still going to make this choice. And they don't condemn them then. They say, okay, well, afterwards, please come back to us.
Yeah.
But it's the idea of changing hearts, like first and foremost, changing hearts, because obviously I'm not a huge fan of murder.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that that's outlawed. I'm glad that that's illegal, murdering people. But Christ did say, like, if you hold that hatred in your heart, man, like you're committing that anyways. And so it's the heart that has to change.
Yeah.
And so we're still going to have those choices.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, gosh. Are we really out of show?
It's over, guys.
Oh!
We have so many questions!
Yeah, it's getting crazy.
Somebody did mention the idea of causing others to stumble, like the fact that we're all running around with short-sleeved shirts on because of our guns. No, because of our tattoos. And I remember a really rad musician that was here one time who was like, hey, do I need to put on a long-sleeve shirt? He was so consciously aware of that, and I never have been. I don't think about stuff like that.
It's because you don't care about people. It's okay.
Yeah. When security has to escort somebody off campus because they were like wanting to choke me out because I was desecrating holy ground because of my sleeve, that happened here, guys.
Here at Calvary?
Oh yeah, at SoPo one time.
Wow.
Yeah, he was a little off his rocker, but yeah. So yeah, it's true. I mean, we think about drinking immediately when it comes to causing others to stumble, but there are so many other things in our lives that we're just unaware of that could probably. But that doesn't mean to just we get like weird and like OCD. Mm. We'll never leave our house.
Yeah, you just worry about yourself. Stop worrying about other people.
You want to go get a beer?
Okay. Thank you so much, Starmy.
I will neither confirm nor deny that question.
If you missed any of the show, hit the podcast. It'll be up here in a little bit. It's on demand. Star88.fm. You can get it at the app. Fascinate Heitzik. See you next week, buddy.
Love it.
That's all we got. There ain't no more. Time is tight. It's the end of the show.